Welcome back, Bud Light Port Paradise.
Here we go.
Bud Light Port Paradise, with two cruise ships, 4,000 shipmates, and one private island concert. Find out how to get on board at facebook.com/Bud Light. Here we go.
And that was just the first night.
Our allies follow suit. Will they say America is leaving in large numbers by next summer? Will they accelerate their footprint in terms of leaving?
President Obama will go to Fort Drum, New York today to talk to soldiers about his withdrawal plan. An attorney for Casey Anthony's parents tells CNN the couple does not think their daughter is innocent. In session correspondent Gene Caceres says this admission could help the prosecution when Casey's mother testifies today.
Cindy Anthony will be called to the stand, and so I think this is a critical witness for the prosecution, but the defense may try to make her into their witness to actually help Casey, who we now know they believe is guilty of something.
Casey Anthony is on trial for the murder of her two-year-old daughter. The most famous horse track in America is closed today because of storm damage. A tornado may have hit Churchill Downs in Kentucky. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Gentlemen, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had three extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from Account Temps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call Account Temps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from Account Temps, sir, right after I cash my paycheck.
You?
Call Account Temps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Account Temps, a Robert Half Company.
Need an exciting new cell phone? Then come to Walmart, where there's low prices every day on everything you need to stay connected. Get the latest phones from the best wireless carriers, like the Verizon Droid X2, the AT&T Samsung Infuse 4G, and T-Mobile's HTC Sensation. Activate it in store. And if you don't want the latest phones, Walmart also has pork and beans. Just empty a few cans and put a string between them. Personally, I'd go with the brand name cell phones at the lowest prices from Walmart, but I do like pork and beans. Save money. Live better. Walmart.
Officially, the unemployment rate among teenagers is 25% right now. That does not factor in those youngsters who are not looking for work. In reality, 75% of teens in the U.S. will not have a job this summer, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Economists tell USA Today that's a reflection of the fact consumer spending is down. The retail stores and restaurants that employ many young people have no need for more workers. This morning we get an updated view of the nation's job situation. Labor Department releases its weekly measure of unemployment claim applicants. Economists predict an increase from last week's reading of 415,000 new claims. Also this morning, another housing report. Yes, it probably will be ugly. Economists think we'll see a drop in May from April's near record low. Fed Chief Bernanke's downward economic revision yesterday helped set the stage for losses in Asian and European markets today. And S&P futures are down 5 points, NASDAQ futures down 9. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
Looking for a better way to grow your business? Our region's cash core analysis can help uncover ways to optimize your cash flow and improve your bottom line. It's all part of the better business banking experience we're building just for you. So, if you're ready for a bank with the insight and guidance to help grow your business, switch to Regions. Drop by a branch or visit regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC.
Somewhere in America, David Ortega is waiting at a busy airport. Kim Healy is waiting in traffic. And a whole country is waiting for a better way to travel. Siemens high-speed trains. They go 220 miles an hour with less carbon emissions. And we could build them right here. Fast answers bring people together. And the over 60,000 U.S. employees of Siemens have more answers every day. Siemens. Visit Siemens.com/answers.
I never thought I'd miss the days when a gallon of gas cost $3. Good thing the Sears Blue Automotive crew is here to help. They explained how old spark plugs could be hurting my car's fuel efficiency and told me when mine should be replaced.
Through July 5th, save $30 on a road trip ready maintenance package that includes an oil change and vehicle alignment. Plus, save on all Michelin tires, including an additional $70 after mail-in rebate with the purchase of 4 tires. Special financing available. Sears Auto Center. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Offer end dates vary from 7/5 to 7/9.
Need an exciting new cell phone? Then come to Walmart, where there's low prices every day on everything you need to stay connected. Get the latest phones from the best wireless carriers, like the Verizon Droid X2, the AT&T Samsung Infused 4G, and T-Mobile's HTC Sensation. Activate it in store. And if you don't want the latest phones, Walmart also has pork and beans. Just empty a few cans and put a string between them. Personally, I'd go with the brand name cell phones at the lowest prices from Walmart, but I do like pork and beans.
The following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Solidarity. A union of interests or purposes or sympathies among members of a group. Union. The state of being united. An organization of workers. Justice. The administering of deserved punishment or reward. Fairness. Free from dishonesty or injustice. Equality. The state of quality of being equal. First Shift with Tony Tripiano. It's about freaking time.
And good morning, everybody. Tony Tripiano, indeed. It is a Thursday morning, and this week is flying by. I mean, flying by in the craziest ways. I have been nonstop this week, during the show, after the show, during the day, and the evening. I'm telling you, it's been an exciting week, no question about that. And we've got a great show lined up for you today. For those of you that are joining us bright and early, as you are right now, I'm unhappy to tell you that Ann Coulter will not be with us today.
All that work I did putting together that promo, and she backs out on us.
Yeah, because this is about you.
It is, really. I mean, you know, I was in the Ann Coulter mood. So if it's all about her, then, yeah, it's going to be all about me.
All right, so it has nothing to do with all the prep I did, right?
No, you read, what, half her book, her demonic book?
I actually read more than half of it, as difficult as it was to digest. We will certainly
have done that.
Well, we'll be making, well, you know, I feel an obligation if I'm going to have an author on my show to read their book. And alas, I ended up cramming it full of nonsense, because that's what her book really represents. But we'll have a chance later on to really pick on her, and we'll do that. I can't imagine. They just left you a voicemail, Jeff, that said, yeah, we need to cancel, and we would love to reschedule. Well, they wouldn't love to reschedule, because she's in town. That's why she was going to be on. Why would she reschedule? Why would she have any motivation to come back on the show?
Who knows? It would have been great if she came in studio, though. Can you imagine?
No, I would have never agreed to that.
What if she brought donuts?
Well, I don't eat donuts.
I would have liked that, though.
Well, that's because Dr. Jen brought you donuts yesterday. And how
she
many
did.
Of those donuts did you eat?
Most of them. Let's just put it that way.
She brought a dozen, and you ate, I'm going to guess six. I'm going to say Todd had two. Am I right?
I don't know. How many did you have, Todd? Yeah, he says one, but I know he had two.
All right, so there were four left, so we'll go with, let's see, 12 minus 4 is 8, minus 2 is 6. That's how many donuts you had, Radford?
Yeah, but a few of them had holes in the middle, so those are less than donuts.
Oh, my God! I know you're not buying that. Anyway, Ann Coulter will not be with us this morning. I'm low energy today. I'm sorry. I'm tired. Today, this is the first morning where I got to tell you, Jeff, I'm absolutely, like, you know, wasted this morning.
We got to talk to 5-Hour Energy and see if we can get them to sponsor the show.
Yeah, you know, my wife, who is very caffeine sensitive, by the way, I mean, she's one of those people, if she drinks caffeine after 11 o'clock in the morning, she can't sleep that night, has fallen in love with this 5-Hour Energy stuff.
Oh, yeah? She tries it a lot?
But she just started trying it, or she just started using it last week. Now, she doesn't take the whole bottle, because that would put her in overdrive and probably kill her. But she drinks like half a bottle. And they're not big bottles. There was, what, maybe 2 ounces of liquid in that bottle?
That's what I was about to make fun of until you said something about your wife. Now I feel bad. But, on the side of the bottle, it says, you might only want to take half, and I'm looking at this thing, it's like a shot glass, and I was like, there's no way I'm only drinking half of this.
Well, anyway, she started taking it, and she said she felt amazingly better. Now, I asked you the other day if you'd ever tried it, and you said it didn't, you know, keep you awake, but it made you happy, which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah, it does, and it makes me more aware, because I used to drink it when I had to drive all the way up here, when I lived like an hour and 15 minutes away from here, and I had to drive here at like 4 in the morning, so I would take it, and it does make you feel more alert, and yeah, it has like a weird happy feeling to it.
Hey man, how cool. Well, you know, so maybe I'll try that at some point. Anyway, we got a lot. We do have a lot to get to today. I'm real excited, by the way, to have Stephen Henderson on the show today from the Detroit Free Press. I'm a big fan, although I've not agreed with some of the stuff he's written lately. I've certainly agreed with the piece we've got him on, which is on redistricting. Watching what the state legislature's doing, Jeff, the last week, trying to get as much as they can through before they take their summer hiatus. Love that word, hiatus. It's really difficult to watch what they're doing. It really is. I feel bad for the people of the state of Michigan, including us, because we are people in the state of Michigan. We certainly are. But before we go any further, of course, my Detroit Tigers played an afternoon game yesterday in Los Angeles. They won. They were on the winning side of a 7-5 score. Four home runs in that game, Jeff. It wasn't, you know, from a pitching perspective, not great. The long ball, of course, never hurts, and they won. So at the end of the day, they take one of three from the Dodgers. Now they're headed back home for a weekend series with Arizona. They're going to honor Sparky Anderson. Gibson and Trammell will be here. So, you know, all things considered, you know, we come back certainly not in first place, but certainly within striking distance, and I guess that's all you can really ask for at this point.
Oh, it's a long season. But, yeah, it was good to see yesterday. The two guys who started the offense for the Tigers are, first of all, Casper Wells, my guy. That's just the guy I think I eventually will get some time in the outfield. I like the way he plays, and I hope he eventually emerges as one of the top options. And the second guy is Maglio. Maglio Ordóñez hit a home run, and I've been saying for a while, don't count him out. All these people are... Oh, the bat speed is slower, and it's like I heard that 2 years ago, and he came back.
Well, you know, he had a nice stroke yesterday. Miguel Cabrera had a real nice his home run was kind of odd because it didn't look like it was going to go anywhere, and then all of a sudden it was gone, which was it doesn't matter because it's a home run's a home run. I'll take him any way we can get him. But Maglio did look good yesterday. Were they doing throwback uniforms yesterday? Is that what that was about?
Yeah, it looks like they had the B for Brooklyn Dodgers on for the Dodgers, and the Tigers were just plain older uniforms, I guess. So, yeah, in that field, I mean, where Dodgers play seems to me it's like a spring training. It doesn't seem like it's Major League Baseball, you know? Doesn't it seem like a spring training when you were watching the game?
Well, yeah. I mean, I've never liked the Dodgers ballpark, to be honest with you. And they didn't have – I mean, they had a really small crowd yesterday. I mean, I thought that afternoon baseball, no matter where you're playing it, it almost guarantees a full house. They didn't – I'll bet you they didn't have 6,000 people there.
That's L.A. for you.
Well, that's kind of insane. Whatever.
I'm just glad no one got beat up or anything.
Why you got to say that?
Because if they're going to make fun of Detroit for riots, we're going to make fun of L.A. for beating up fans.
Okay. Well, anyway, I'm glad the Tigers won. I'm glad we're coming home. Certainly honoring Sparky's a big deal. And Tram and Gibson are here. How are the Diamondbacks doing this year? How's Gibson doing as a manager this year?
They are talking that, like, Kirk Gibson is up for, I don't know. I haven't really been following their record, but a lot of, I've been reading about how good Gibson's job is as coach, and they love him out there. They think the players really like playing for him, and the media, I guess, thinks the world of him. And I even heard a rumor that should Leland end up losing his job, that the Tigers would try hard to get Gibson to come here. I don't know if that would happen or not, but that was the rumor.
Huh. Well, that's interesting, and certainly we're not ready to go there. I mean, we've heard the rumors that Tommy Brookins is next in line for Jim Leland's job. I know you've heard that rumor, because if I've heard it, I know you've heard it. And there's been, I don't know, mixed reaction about that. I don't know him as a coach, so I can't really give you an opinion on him as a coach.
I know him as a first base coach, and he stands there and does what he's supposed to, I guess.
You know. You wonder what our third base coach, why we even have one, because no one seems to listen to him.
Yeah. No, he hasn't been able to stop anything.
No, he hasn't, including this conversation, but we'll leave that for what it is. All right, we're going to let's take a look at what we're going to do today. And I've got some audio to share with you. But Stephen Henderson, as I mentioned, from the Detroit Free Press, will be joining us. We're going to talk redistricting. He had a great column day before yesterday that I want to share with you. Ann Coulter will not be with us, but will certainly, in absentia, talk a little bit about her. I found her stuff interesting. The voice of the Workers Independent News that we hear at the bottom of every single hour of this show, Doug Honeyham, will be with us. We just wanted to introduce him to you. He's actually a Michigan native. Did you know that, Radford?
Yeah, when I was talking or emailing back and forth. Nice guy, too.
Yeah, very nice man. And so we'll look forward to having Doug Cunningham on this morning. Dave Holtz with Progress Michigan will be with us to talk about the lawsuit that was filed yesterday and the statewide news conferences on the emergency manager bill, Public Act 4. Public Act 4. And its constitutionality or lack thereof. And so we'll look forward to having David on. Of course, we're going to have a lot of time for you. So if you'd like to join us, 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. Tony@thetonyshow.org is the email address. Now, let me get to the first shift Facebook poll question of the day. And when we come back from the break, I'm going to play some audio from President Obama. But he announced last night that we will bring home 10,000 troops by the end of 2011, by the end of this year. Do you believe it is time to withdraw all our troops in Iraq and Afghanistan? Do you believe it's time we withdraw all of our troops in Iraq and Afghanistan? And I have not voted yet, but I will after this break. And tell you where I stand on this issue. And again, we'll listen to some of what the president had to tell the nation last night in case you missed it. We have it for you. And we're going to take a quick break here. A lot to get to, including your phone calls. So give us a call now. 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Trupiano. A good Thursday morning to you. It's going to cool off the next couple of days. That's not necessarily a bad thing. So let's enjoy the weather that we got. Let's take the break here on 1310 WDTW. We'll get this thing going right after this.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Jay, welcome to First Shift.
How you doing, Tony? Excellent show.
Frank, good morning.
You got a great show, by the way.
Tom, listening in Chicago.
You got a great show, Tony. You've been doing a great job. I've been listening to you since you came on the air. And good luck with it, and I hope you keep it going.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update brought to you by McDonald's. We're doing great right now, even along 75 coming in towards 696 as you make your way from Oakland into Wayne County. No problem heading down toward the Davis Center, 94 all the way into downtown. That whole stretch moving along great.
Stop by McDonald's today and try a cool and creamy premium roast iced coffee starting at just $1.19. Available in hazelnut, vanilla, and sugar-free vanilla. Try your favorite premium roast iced coffee flavor today. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Look for a chance of rain throughout the day. Our high near 74. Tonight we're going to have scattered showers, a low near 60. Tomorrow possible rain and a high near 67. Right now it's overcast and 68 degrees at Metro Airport. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
All of Michigan's top newsmakers talk to Tony Trupiano.
Joining us now is Debbie Stabenow.
Good morning, Tony. It's always great to be with you.
Former Michigan Congressman Mark Schauer.
It's great to be with you, Tony.
Cindy Estrada joins us.
Thank you, Graham.
State Representative Harvey Santana. You're a rock star, Bert Bernero.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much. You're too kind, Tony.
And my good friend, Congressman Hanson Clark. Welcome to First Shift.
Tony, it's great being on your show.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9 on 1310 WDTW.
The Home Depot has lowered prices on items throughout the store, the products you need most. So you save money and get more out of every project you do. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
You know her as Three's Company star and the Thighmaster guru, but Suzanne Summers is also author of 20 bestsellers, including her revolutionary new book, Sexy Forever, How to Lose Fat After 40. Now she's done it again by exposing the missing ingredient to help women over 40 lose weight.
Are you over 40 and just can't lose weight? Well, it's more than diet and exercise. I've spent 2 decades working with cutting-edge doctors, and I have found the missing piece of the puzzle to losing fat after 40. This new information will astonish you, and I want to share these discoveries, so get started now with a free weight loss plan only available at Suzanne.com. On my personalized program, you'll lose the weight, stop fat in its tracks, and rejuvenate your whole metabolism. So if you're over 40 and overweight, you need more than a diet. This is the proven answer you've been looking for.
To get Suzanne Summers' free weight loss plan, log on now to Suzanne.com. That's Suzanne.com. Suzanne.com.
Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. And now, back to work with First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. 22 minutes after 6 o'clock on this Thursday morning. Last night, President Obama spoke to the nation. We're going to listen to some of that audio here in just a moment. We have a war that's been going on for over a decade. And who would have thought when this all began that we would be here over 10 years later? And it has become problematic, not only for the families who continue to suffer the losses of the men and women we've lost at war, both in Iraq and Afghanistan. The political football that this has become, or the hot potato perhaps more appropriately, as nobody wants to be hands-on and we can't seem to take our hands off what's going on in the Middle East. And, you know, from where I'm sitting, and I've been reporting on this now for over a decade, I know that for at least as far as I'm concerned, it's time to bring our troops home. I cannot see at this point that it does any good to continue to quote-unquote stabilize two parts of the world that I don't even know want stabilization. Iraq should be able to take care of itself by now. In Afghanistan, I don't think they've clearly defined who they are, and although they have something that they fashion as a democracy, I'm not so sure it works the way that we hoped it would. And really, is it our responsibility any longer? Those are the questions, of course, that will be answered. And I don't know that the president's ever going to be right enough or wrong enough for everybody. But it is time. It is actually overdue to bring our troops home. So let's hear what a little bit about what the president had to say. In this first remark, the president says that you know, these wars are now coming to a responsible end, so let's hear what he had to say.
Yet tonight, we take comfort in knowing that the tide of war is receding. Fewer of our sons and daughters are serving in harm's way. We've ended our combat mission in Iraq, with 100,000 American troops already out of that country. And even as there will be dark days ahead in Afghanistan, the light of a secure peace can be seen in the distance. These long wars will come to a responsible end.
And they need to come to a responsible end, and they need to do it quickly. And, you know, talking about dark days ahead, at what point, and I'm not saying throwing up our hands and saying, hey, listen, we're not going to win this thing, because this isn't about winning and losing. It was about stability, and that's what it was always supposed to be about. Haven't we stabilized enough? I mean, that's the question we ask. So in this next clip, let's see what the President Obama had to say about investing in our people.
Over the last decade, we have spent $1 trillion on war at a time of rising debt and hard economic times. Now we must invest in America's greatest resource, our people.
And as this came up on the show the other day, one of the more astute callers, brought up, had we have spent this money domestically, $1 trillion domestically, what could we or should we have created? Can you fathom what would have happened if we would have invested $1 trillion into our domestic economy, into education, into infrastructure, which is woefully behind where it needs to be to keep pace with what's happening worldwide? I mean, do you realize as Americans, and I want you to stop and seriously think about this, we see ourselves as always being the best at everything, but we're not any longer. We're not keeping up with energy alternatives. Certainly other countries are light years ahead of this country. With regard to the way we measure and deliver education, again, we are light years behind, mostly because we continue to ignore what teachers know they need and want, because we have politicized education. But think about what we could have accomplished and would have accomplished without sending $1 trillion of our dollars to parts of the world that will never be able to repay us. Well, that gives you a little bit of reason to pause. There's no question about that. In this next clip, the president talks about not being able to sit back and do nothing. So let's go to that one, and I'll comment after that.
Already this decade of war has caused many to question the nature of America's engagement around the world. Some would have America retreat from our responsibility as an anchor of global security and embrace an isolation that ignores the very real threats that we face. Others would have America overextended, confronting every evil that can be found abroad. We must chart a more centered course. Like generations before, we must embrace America's singular role in the course of human events.
Well, and I don't disagree with that, but I do have to ask, and at what point and how do we define what our involvement should be? Yes, we do have a vested interest in what's happening in the Middle East, and certainly the stability of, again, these two parts of the Middle East and Iraq and Afghanistan are critical to the delivery of mostly what? That commodity we call oil. And that's probably where this really is, and ultimately, at the end of the day, it is about money. But you stop and you wonder, and I don't think it's isolationist to say that we want to walk away. At this point, we should walk away. I don't think it's retreat, because we have provided them with resources and infrastructure that we're not providing our own citizenry, so we can feel very good about that. We need to find, he said, a more centered course. Well, I don't know that centered is the right word there. I think we need to find as quick a way out as responsibly as possible and just allow them to figure this out on their own at this point. When we start building permanent army bases, and when I say permanent, bases that cost millions if not billions of dollars, you have to wonder if we will ever leave. But it is time to do that, and it is time to stop bleeding money in parts of the world that do nothing to help you and I. And at some point, we do need to take care of ourselves. And the next clip, the president talks about troop withdrawal, and of course, that is what most of those families that have suffered for so long want to know about. Go ahead.
Our military commanders warned that we could face a resurgent Al-Qaeda and a Taliban taking over large parts of Afghanistan. For this reason, in one of the most difficult decisions that I've made as president, I ordered an additional 30,000 American troops into Afghanistan. When I announced this surge at West Point, we set clear objectives to refocus on Al-Qaeda, to reverse the Taliban's momentum, and train Afghan security forces to defend their own country. I also made it clear that our commitment would not be open-ended and that we would begin to draw down our forces this July. Tonight, I can tell you that we are fulfilling that commitment. Thanks to our extraordinary men and women in uniform, our civilian personnel, and our many coalition partners, we are meeting our goals. As a result, starting next month, we will be able to remove 10,000 of our troops from Afghanistan by the end of this year, and we will bring home a total of 33,000 troops by next summer, fully recovering the surge I announced at West Point.
And I appreciate that, but what about the rest of the troops? I mean, we really need an exit strategy. And I have to take the president to task for this. This is one of the problems I had with George Bush. Although George Bush went in never having an exit strategy. And when you go to war, by the way, not knowing when, you know, how you want it to end, when you don't know what the outcome should be, you can't just generalize things like this. And so it does make one wonder, you know, what happens to the rest of those troops? How much longer will they have to be there? All right, well, we're going to take a quick break here. Certainly would love your thoughts on what the president had to say last night. Again, our Facebook First Shift poll question is out there. The president announced that he will bring home 10,000 troops by the end of the year. Is it time to just bring everybody home? I say yes. That's my vote. 888-552-3595, 888-552-3595. A quick break here on WDTW. We'll be back after we take this quick break.
WDTW Continuous Traffic Watch.
Our total traffic update includes all good news coming in I-75 from the Downriver area, making your way from West Road toward Eureka, toward 4th Street Schaefer, and over the Rouge River Bridge into the city. Looks like we're not seeing delays connecting from 75 the Fisher to 75 the Chrysler.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Look for a chance of rain throughout the day. Our high near 74. Tonight we're going to have scattered showers. A low near 60. Tomorrow possible rain and a high near 67. Right now it's overcast and 68 degrees at Metro Airport. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. Forging the Flame of Justice, Interfaith Worker Justices National Conference in Chicago, brought together hundreds of clergy from all over America. Interfaith Worker Justice Public Policy Associate Tom Schellebarger says attacks on workers' rights fly in the face of religious teaching and values.
The assault on workers and worker organizing in particular, it really strikes a discord with religious leaders. Religion by its very nature is communitarian, and the economic philosophy that's behind most of the attacks on worker organizing is very individualistic and materialistic. It runs counter to what most religions teach about who we are as human beings.
Schellebarger says the work of Interfaith Worker Justice upholds the dignity and rights of workers.
For Interfaith Worker Justice, our focus is on how do we allow workers to have a voice and a say in the work that they do. If we believe in democracy, then we believe in individuals having the right to be a part of what determines their life. Nothing determines your life more than your workplace.
The AFL-CIO's Union Summer Internship Program is underway with 45 students working in 8 cities on community and labor movement building projects. AFL-CIO President Rich Trumka says that Union Summer gives young people an opportunity to give back to their communities as they help to rebuild the middle class and create a voice for all working people. Trumka says Union Summer is part of a young worker outreach program that also includes the upcoming second annual Next Up Summit of young workers in Minneapolis. About 125 workers at GM's Lake Orion plant took a strike vote on Wednesday. Results are expected as soon as today, after members have been notified of the results. The workers reportedly make less than $10 an hour working for a company called Link Logistics, doing parts logistics for GM inside that plant. The workers signed union cards to join the UAW, but have yet to reach a contract agreement. UAW Local 5960 President Pat Sweeney says the union is fighting for a living wage for the workers. The roughly $20,000 these workers earn annually is below the federal poverty line for a family of four. GM is launching the Chevy Sonic this summer at the plant, the only subcompact to be made in the U.S. Pacifica Radio says it's riveting. This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising is a one-hour documentary from Madison-based Workers Independent News. Get your copy today at laborradio.org. This newscast was made possible in part through underwriting support from the hardworking men and women of the IBEW, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
The time has come. Stand and fight those who would deny your rights. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. Before I get to the phones, we have one more audio clip. Again, President Obama announced yesterday that we will begin to draw down the 33,000 troops that were sent in the surge. As promised, not exactly on schedule, because he had told us they would start coming home in July of this year, which is next month. Maybe some will, but certainly not at the levels we were hoping for. But last but not least, in our audio set on the president's address last night, he talks about the death of Osama bin Laden and the significance to troop withdrawal.
We're starting this drawdown from a position of strength. Al-Qaeda is under more pressure than at any time since 9/11. Together with the Pakistanis, we have taken out more than half of Al-Qaeda's leadership. And thanks to our intelligence professionals and special forces, we killed Osama bin Laden, the only leader that Al-Qaeda had ever known. This was a victory for all who have served since 9/11. One soldier summed it up well. The message, he said, is we don't forget. You will be held accountable no matter how long it takes.
And there we go. So let's go to the phones again if you want to join us. 888-552-3595. I want to welcome David in Farmington to First Shift. David, thanks for joining us this morning. What's on your mind today?
I wanted to talk about the Afghan troops level. I understand where you're coming from. I'm a little bit in disagreement on your viewpoint. I think that a total withdrawal, every single troop is going to leave a vacuum, if you will, that'll lead to instability. It would be the chaos. I also think there's also something else to think about. The likelihood of the next armed conflict, I think, is great that it'll be in that region. So therefore, if you have a moderate troop stationed in Afghanistan, Iraq, with, you know, airfield, supply depots and such, it'll help our response to the armed conflicts in that region. Much like we used the Philippines, the Japan, the Koreas, after those armed conflicts for stabilizing forces in the region after their, you know, after their wars.
All right, and David, I realize you're not a military expert, neither am I, so let's recognize that up front. You know, and I don't know what an acceptable number of troops are to stay. I don't disagree with you. You know, but if we know that Afghanistan is more stable than it was 2 years ago. Is it stable enough? I don't have the answer to that question. I'm going to guess not. But, you know, what, you know, David, really, what is, how long do we have an obligation to stay there? You know, I realize that it could create a vacuum, and I'm not saying that we're going to withdraw every single troop by the end of August, let's say, because that would be the wrong thing to do. You have to do this drawdown gradually. I get that. But we need to do it in a way that we are only maintaining physical plant, is what I'm suggesting. That whatever bases we have there, that we need to keep troop levels to a point where you can maintain those bases. But we can only solve these problems for so long, and you have to wonder at some point, you know, how much longer and how much more U.S. money has to be spent before this just becomes so out of control, if it's not already, David.
Now we're starting to talk on the same page. I think, and unfortunately, it was so mismanaged the first 7-8 years that it's woefully, you know, sad, but
well, on that we certainly agree. Absolutely, certainly agree on that.
Yeah. You know, I kind of agree. I think you need to hold a presence there. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like the Karzai is the leader that we would wish upon the Afghani people. It certainly reeks of corruption when you have your big brother or little brother being the area's largest drug dealer. And you don't have the fortitude to put them behind bars.
All right, you know, and David, I just need to move on to other calls. So I really do appreciate what you had to say. A great deal. I mean, you know, a great call. You know, Afghanistan is the number one producer of heroin in the world. You know, for those of you that are not aware of that, you know, they produce more heroin in Afghanistan that they distribute worldwide than any other place in the world. And there is no, they still have warlords there. There is no desire to stop the drug trade because they can't. And it's not going to happen. And again, just how much longer do we have that obligation? 888-552-3595. Let's welcome Jeff in Milford to First Shift. Jeff, thanks for punching in with us this morning. What's on your mind?
Morning, Tony. Yeah, I got to agree with you. And unlike the other caller, I'm ex-military, okay? We're not going to pull every troop out of there. You're always going to have a forward base. We've still got troops from World War II in Germany and Japan. We've still got troops from Korea.
Absolutely. And we're in agreement on that. Of course, you're going to always have a presence there.
And so, second of all, we got the mission done. Bin Laden's dead, okay? We got Saddam Hussein. Let's pull him out of Iraq. So the mission's done. Unlike the previous president who was looking in every cave and hole, this president goes for the obvious. What's this high-rise doing in the middle of a place that's got straw huts and mud brick houses? So he goes there and finds them. See what I'm saying?
Absolutely, so, Jeff.
The only thing I want from Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan is who was Bin Laden's cell phone carrier, because I lose service in Canton. He's making long-distance phone calls from every foxhole and bunker that there was over there, and he's got a stinking high-rise that's got 4 feet of concrete in it, and he's making phone calls from it. You know?
Well, you know,
the mission's over. We got him.
Absolutely. You know, and then, of course, you know, there's going to be, you know, the coming from Washington, D.C. to Jeff, there's going to be calls today from, you know, the politicians that are going to tell us, well, the mission's not over. It is over. It is over. It is over in Afghanistan. It is over in Iraq. We need to return more of these men and women home. I realize that neither region is completely stable yet, but at what point does our obligation end? And what's the financial toll? I mean, at what point do we say, if you want us to stay, you're going to have to provide the funding for us to stay? I believe that we support our troops, folks. We have from the very beginning. My concern is always going to be, and will continue to be, what happens when all of these troops get home? What kind of support are they going to get when they get back home? You know, the majority of us, unlike Jeff, who served, and by the way, thank you for your service, Jeff. You know, most of us have not served. Most of us do not know the burden that it is to serve your country at a time of war. Most of us don't know that. Most of us will never suffer the way some of these men and women have suffered. You know, this isn't a vacation, as you all know. And to be put in harm's way on a daily basis, to have as your job identifying packages or whatever that may be an IED, that's not a way that most of us are going to go throughout our day. It's not a job that most of us will ever have. And at what point do we say we've done enough? And I believe, this is my personal opinion, we have done enough. So you leave enough people there to manage the physical plant, as I said before, you know, to keep those bases running. But it's time to withdraw. We'll go back to the phones. Bruce Felk, again, with the Rochester Citizen. We can count on Bruce, and glad we can count on Bruce, joins us again. And Bruce, thanks for calling this morning. I imagine you have some thoughts on what's happening, or the president's remarks last night.
Well, I guess I mostly called to agree with you. I mean, I don't think I disagree with you on anything. I just, you know, we have so many needs in the United States. I was just downtown at the press conference about the emergency financial manager lawsuit that was filed yesterday. And, you know, it's obvious that the financial crisis has caused so many disasters here at home. The United States is basically becoming a third world country. We need to spend all that money. Bring it home, spend all that money, you know, taking care of our troops, making sure that their physical and mental needs are met, and, you know, building back up America, building up our manufacturing center, and putting our own people back to work. That's my opinion.
Yeah, and Bruce, you know, we continue to conveniently not remember that the reason that we are in the shape that we are in financially is because of the mistakes, the bold mistakes that President Bush and Vice President Dick Cheney committed us to. and parts of the world that we should have never gone into Iraq. And I bet it, at least is my opinion. I'm not going to put words in your mouth. But the whole financial crisis that we have is as a result of war. And of bad advice and of, what I consider to be criminal intent on behalf of former President George W. Bush.
And unfortunately, President Obama has walked down that same road.
Bruce. I'm disappointed with him as well.
I mean, if we go according to the plan that he announced last night, we will have been in Afghanistan for 14 years. No country has ever won, or I don't even know what winning a war in Afghanistan looks like, frankly. And no matter when we leave, they're going to have problems. We could leave 100 years from now, and that country is still going to have problems. We are supporting a corrupt government. They don't even have a functioning government in Afghanistan, and we continue to support them. And it will, like I said, will have been 15 years, 14 years by the time we leave. Entirely, if we go according to the plan that was announced. I hope Congress fights back. I hope the Democrats fight back and say we have to leave now because we have needs at home that need to be met.
Well, and I will hope, and Bruce, again, thanks for your call. I will hope that that does happen. It is time to bring these home. Tim, you stay right where you're at. We'll come back to you after the break. If you want to join us, now is the time to do that. 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Stay with us.
Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Middle class workers like you shouldn't be bearing all the burden. You work too hard for someone to ask you to pay more so that somebody who's making millions or billions of dollars can pay less.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the home page. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Now at the Home Depot Red, White, and Blue Savings Event, save on items throughout the store, including innovative top-brand appliances like a Maytag side-by-side refrigerator for $698. At $200 off, you get more than you'd think for a lot less than you thought. All thanks to store-wide low prices at the Red, White, and Blue Savings Event. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through July 6th while supplies last. U.S. only. See store for details.
This is Dan Tullis, and I just called
Joel Clark,
one of Select Quote Insurance Services' term life agents.
Hi, Mr. Tullis.
Joel, how does Select Quote save you money on term life insurance?
Well, buying term life insurance is all about choosing the right company. Let's say you take antidepressants or you smoke. All insurance companies are going to price that differently. We'll impartially shop all the companies we represent to find you the best price.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. I just got a man, 40 years old, who takes blood pressure medication, a $500,000 policy with a highly rated insurance company. His price, $21 a month.
Call 1-800-600-1582 and see how affordable term life insurance can be. That's 1-800-600-1582. 1-800-600-1582. Or go to selectquote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
We're bringing the best progressive talk on the radio to Lynette in Detroit, Nick in Wyandotte, Tom in Ypsilanti, Robert in Detroit, Kathy in Southgate, Maureen in Dearborn, and everyone listening to 1310 WDTW, Detroit's progressive talk.
Call Tony and tell him what's on your mind.
1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. Troop withdrawal. It's time. And although we talk like we're doing the right thing, the question is, are we? And are we doing it quickly enough? That is the question. That is our Facebook First Shift poll question of the day. And we've had quite a few callers on this topic, as well as my next one. Tim joins us now from Brownstown. Tim, good early morning to you, my friend. How are you today?
Good morning, my friend. Let me first say I pray for the president and our military every day. This is where, you know, this is the toughest part of being the president. And I'm half and half. Half says we need to stay. The other half of me says we need to get everybody out of there. It's just such a tough decision. I was watching the news last night, and they had, you know, talking points. You know, we've gained about 20-some provinces in the south. They want to now go to the east. But there's over 200-some provinces there in Afghanistan. All I can say is I'm just going to pray and hope. I wish we had a crystal ball and we could tell what's going to happen. But this is a tough call for the president, and I'm just going to pray for him and hope all our military people stay safe.
Well, you know, Tim, I can't disagree with anything you've said, and certainly to offer prayer to the president and the troops is beyond appropriate. It's certainly the right thing to do. And ultimately, you know, we continue to be concerned. We don't want to lose another precious life. There's no question that's true. Again, this to me, Tim, goes back to whatever our obligation was. You know, we had the one caller, Jeff, who talked about the mission. The mission has been accomplished. And so why do we need to stay? Why do we need to stay longer? Go ahead.
I'm concerned about, you know, the border between Afghan and Pakistan and how porous it is. And I'm concerned about the nukes in Pakistan. I mean, it's just a tough call. I just don't want the terrorists getting their hands on them nukes. I don't know. This is a tough call, Tony.
Again, appreciate Tim, as always, appreciate the phone call. It is a tough call. There's no question that's true. And there is a lot to consider. Listen, you know, foreign policy is probably one of the few areas where I kind of depart from most liberals or progressives. I'm much more independent-minded when it comes to foreign policy and to national security than some are. I am not, I am not a strict anti-war guy. I think there are times that and we are provoked into war, and we need to be responsible and responsive to that. We have become the world's policeman, police force, and that is problematic, especially when you have an economy that's in shambles. For every dollar we are spending overseas, especially in the Middle East where these hotspots are, is one less dollar that's educating a child or feeding somebody that's hungry in this country. I'm not suggesting that we would have spent that money, by the way, domestically. We certainly would not have spent $1 trillion on infrastructure and education and whatever else we feel our needs are. We would have not have done that. But we also wouldn't have had the kind of economic downturn that we had. We wouldn't have had so many jobs go into the toilet, and we wouldn't be struggling as hard as we are right now to make ends meet. And all of these horrible budget decisions that are being forced upon legislatures all over this great country of ours. Unfortunately, there are opportunists, and those opportunists happen to be very wealthy people. And they have taken advantage of this war. They have profited from it, and they have decided through some thinly veiled attempt at morality, which is just absolutely joke-filled to begin with, that, you know, their agenda is what's right for the country. This, you know, simply does come down to our awareness on issues and what our obligation and what our responsibility is as a citizenry. I often use the phrase, and I'll use it again today, it's one thing to show up, it's another to stand up. Those of you that have heard me speak know I talk very passionately about that because it is Now, our obligation to end some of the insanity that we see going on around us. And whether it's something as simple as the election for your local school board, which isn't simple at all, that's a pretty damned important position these days, or we're electing the President of the United States and all of the things that are sandwiched in between those two, you need to understand that the way this country will move from this point forward for the next 10 years or so does affect every single thing you do. And as you decide to either get involved or to not get involved, whichever way you're leaning, understand that you're just going to then be stuck with what you get. And I don't know about you, but I can no longer find that palatable. And that's why I continue to be a little bit flummoxed by the idea that what is happening right now in the state of Michigan isn't inciting and moving more of you off the couch and into a more politically active position in your community, even in your neighborhood, perhaps even in your home. We can bring it all the way to, you know, just to your home. You know, what are you willing to do? I keep asking the question to change the way and the direction this country's going in. We need to put pressure on those people we elect to protect us, to defend us, to design legislation that supports what represents all of us, not just some of us. And then we need to hold them accountable when that doesn't manifest in the way we hoped it would. You know, there's a very deliberate effort being made to chip away at our Constitution, both at the federal and the state level. And you have to ask yourself, why is that happening? I know that I, perhaps for some of you, oversimplify it by using that three-word phrase, follow the money. But that really is at the root of most things, if not everything, that is every decision that is made. And so as you wake up on this early morning in this very heavy topic, and I get that, you know, this is not always the easiest stuff to talk about or listen to the first thing in the morning. Well, progress is difficult. And the time of day should not matter. What should matter is, are we doing the best and most responsible thing for our community? And at this point, getting our troops home as quickly as possible is the most responsible thing to do for this country and for our communities. We need to safely return these men and women back to their own communities. We need to stop disrupting lives. Some of these people have been rotated in and out of the war theater for so long now, it is their existence. And they are all but 20-something years old. Think long and hard about what we do if this doesn't end soon, and how much more money can we really send over there? Haven't we already devastated our own infrastructure enough? That certainly gives us reason for pause. A quick break for the top of the hour. Diane Cross coming up with traffic and weather. We've got CNN News as well. When we come back, Stephen Henderson with the Detroit Free Press will be with us. I'm Tony Trupiano. A quick break. We'll be back here on 1310 WDTW.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update continues to be pretty good out there along 94 near the 696 interchange. Drivers coming in through Macomb County, looks like it's all moving great through there. And then as you go further west on 94, heading down toward Wayne County, looks like that still looks pretty good, although pockets of heavier traffic building a bit the closer you get toward I-75.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, look for a chance of rain throughout the day. Our high near 74. Tonight we're going to have scattered showers, a low near 60. Tomorrow possible rain and a high near 67. Right now it's overcast and 68 degrees at Metro Airport. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Identify yourself, please.
This is Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Top story, Casey Anthony's defense may have taken a big hit. CNN's Gary Tuchman spoke exclusively with the lawyer for Anthony's parents.
He said they want to see justice done, they want to see the truth come out, and then he added to me, he said, they do not believe she is innocent. That being said, okay, and this is very important, and he wanted me to stress this, and it's important that I do stress this. They love her, they support her, and they do not want her to get the death penalty. And they will do all they can to avoid her getting the death penalty in this case.
Casey Anthony is on trial in Florida for the murder of her 2-year-old daughter. President Obama spelled out his troop withdrawal plan for Afghanistan in a nationally broadcast speech.
America, it is time to focus on nation building here at home. In this effort, we draw inspiration from our fellow Americans who have sacrificed so much on our behalf.
The president announced last night he plans to bring 10,000 troops home by the end of this year and another 23,000 by next September. The TSA is going to change the way it searches children who go through airport security. Screeners are being told to avoid pat-downs of kids who are 10 and under. The alleged Boston organized crime boss who inspired the Oscar-winning film The Departed was captured in California. This Boston native just moved to L.A. and says he's shocked to hear that James Whitey Bulger was caught after years on the run.
I grew up in Southie, moved out here, been out here for about a week, and wow. Whitey's caught? You gotta be kidding me. No way. We had to come down and check it out, see what's going on.
Bulger was on the FBI's 10 most wanted list. A long legal battle involving Facebook is over. Tyler and Cameron Winklevoss, who were once business partners with Mark Zuckerberg, dropped their court appeal of a $65 million settlement with the Facebook founder. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
The Home Depot has made a special buy on exclusive Hunter Highbury ceiling fans, just $89.88. Valued at $150, you get a ceiling fan for under $90 to keep things cool, a remote control to keep things easy, and a lifetime warranty to keep you from having to replace it down the road. All thanks to a special buy on exclusive Hunter Highbury ceiling fans, just $89.88. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
I'm Charles Osgood. When you think of auto owner's insurance, 3 years come to mind. 2008, 2009, and now 2010. Congratulations to auto owner's insurance. Ranked highest in customer satisfaction for auto insurance claims experience 3 years in a row by J.D. Power and Associates. For award information, visit jdpower.com. Auto owner's insurance. Promises made, promises kept. To find the independent insurance agent nearest you, visit autoowners.com. That's autoowners.com.
Big corporate mergers almost always result in big job losses, but many of those likely to be affected by the proposed acquisition of T-Mobile USA by AT&T are taking matters into their own hands. Expecting that they will be the ones phased out, many operators of T-Mobile stores are selling out or canceling expansion plans. That's according to the Wall Street Journal, which says the trend is most common in places where T-Mobile and AT&T stores are near one another. There really wasn't a spring home selling season this year. That's according to expectations for an economic report this morning. It's also according to the boss at Lennar, the home building company, reporting a 65% drop in profit last quarter from a year ago. And because of weakness in the overall home market, Lennar made less money on each home that it sold. This morning we get the latest government measure of new home sales expected to show a decrease from April to May. Stock futures down, S&P futures losing 6, NASDAQ futures down 8. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Looking for a better way to grow your business? A Regions Cash Core analysis can help uncover ways to optimize your cash flow and improve your bottom line. It's all part of the better business banking experience we're building just for you. So, if you're ready for a bank with the insight and guidance to help grow your business, switch to Regions. Drop by a branch or visit regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC.
Somewhere in America, David Ortega is waiting at a busy airport. Kim Healy is waiting in traffic. And a whole country is waiting for a better way to travel. Siemens high-speed trains. They go 220 miles an hour with less carbon emissions. And we could build them right here. Fast answers bring people together. And the over 60,000 U.S. employees of Siemens have more answers every day. Siemens. Visit Siemens.com/answers.
Merriman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had three extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from Accountemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call Accountemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from Accountemps, sir, right after I cash my paycheck.
Who are you?
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half Company.
Need an exciting new cell phone? Then come to Walmart, where there's low prices every day on everything you need to stay connected. Get the latest phones from the best wireless carriers, like the Verizon Droid X2, the AT&T Samsung Infuse 4G, and T-Mobile's HTC Sensation. Activate it in store. And if you don't want the latest phones, Walmart also has pork and beans. Just empty a few cans and put a string between them. Personally, I'd go with the brand name cell phones at the lowest prices from Walmart, but I do like pork and beans. Save money. Live better. Walmart.
Every minute matters.
It's about taking action that makes a real difference in real people's lives.
Time to engage.
How does it feel to wake up this morning and be the most hated man in Michigan?
Target locked.
I have a bold vision for Michigan's future.
And people are saying, well, they're getting this huge break. Well, I don't believe that's really true. Shared sacrifice.
Ready the Snyder Fighter.
It is time for a new era. It is time for...
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome, everybody. Hour two of this Thursday edition of First Shift. And we've got a lot to get to in this hour. For those of you that are just joining us, although we had book confirmed and we're ready for Ann Coulter, apparently... she probably ended up doing her homework and decided not to join us in this hour, so we will not be having Ann Coulter. I'm not going to waste a lot of time focusing on what we're not going to do. Let's focus on what we are going to do. That leaves more time for you and I to interact. And so at any point throughout the program, as always, feel free to join us at 888-552-3595. You know, Jeff, very quickly before I get to my next guest, you've got to appreciate the seriousness and the intensity of our callers in the last hour as it relates to what's happening in Afghanistan and Iraq. You know, we don't spend a lot of time on national politics, but obviously that resonated with folks, Jeff.
Well, it's just not just national either. I mean, there's people around here that are affected by having their kids over there or maybe their neighbors or what have you. I mean, it does affect us locally as well, and I know you know that as well. It's still something pretty important that everyone's talking about. So I thought we should talk about it as well.
Yeah, well, I'm truly glad. You know, the irony here is I picked the poll question of the day. You grabbed that audio. Neither one of us knowing what the other one was doing. So obviously we both saw the importance of that issue. Let me tell you that I'm very excited about my next guest, and we're going to get to him in just a moment. I've got a lot of email in the last 5 minutes from folks that are very, very passionately concerned about troop withdrawal. We'll spend some more time on this a little bit later on in the show. I'm actually pretty heartened by the response that we got from that last hour. And so thank you so much, folks, for paying attention. Let me turn my attention now to Stephen Henderson. Stephen is the Detroit Free Press editorial page editor, actually a pretty important person in my life, although he doesn't realize it. As many of you know, the Free Press is pretty basically the foundation on which I build this program on a daily basis. I've been a lover of the Free Press for many, many years. And Stephen Henderson certainly has an important voice in the discussion and takes that responsibility very seriously, although he and I have probably disagreed on a few things in the last couple of months. On this one issue, we do not. His most recent column, which I actually read 2 days ago, is titled On Redistricting. You've got to be kidding me. Stephen Henderson, welcome to First Shift. It's a pleasure to have you on this morning.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I got to tell you, I'm a little concerned. I'm more than a little concerned. I look at the political landscape here statewide, and I see what's happening. A very deliberate plan on behalf of the Republican Party statewide and our governor, Rick Snyder, to put in place an agenda that is becoming very uncomfortable for the majority of Michigan citizens. Then we turn to, you know, what we hope will be the one area of nonpartisanship, which is how we draw our congressional, our state, and our state senate, state house, and state senate districts. and we see nothing but partisanship to an extreme. Are you getting a little concerned, Stephen Henderson?
Well, I mean, I'm certainly concerned about the map that the House GOP drew for the congressional districts, which, you know, really made a pinwheel out of Oakland County, our second largest, most populous county in the state, and did so partially out of partisan interest, you know, to maximize Republican clout on that map, but frankly, in the process, also just strengthened the Democratic districts. I mean, really, it's an incumbent favorite map more than anything. I mean, you look at the district that John Dingell lives in; they take Monroe out of that, which makes that much more Democratic. The district that they mashed together, Gary Peters and Sandy Levin, the resulting district is so Democratic that, you know, you wouldn't have a real race in that district for the next 10 years. But then, of course, you know, they help out Thad McConner, not as much as they could have, I suppose. They help out Mike Rogers. They help out Tim Walberg. It's really an example of the kind of thing that you see a lot in other states, and we hadn't seen so much here in Michigan, which is that politicians take this process, which should be about the people, and make it about themselves. I mean, they make it about self-preservation. Michigan hasn't had that happen before, so I'm really concerned that this takes us down a road that's not going to be good for voters.
Well, and of course, I'm all, you know, certainly as concerned about everything you've just said, and you've explained it perfectly. As I look at this, I look at certainly Senator or Congressman Hanson Clark's seat and Congressman John Conyers' seat, and the way they've manipulated those two districts, I believe are quite problematic. And in the real oddity here is that Oakland County may actually have a congressperson that doesn't live in Oakland County.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I mean, big parts of Oakland would end up being represented by people who don't live there. I mean, you've got the two quote-unquote Detroit seats, Clark and Conyers, both of which on that map go up in Oakland County. I mean, one that goes all the way up into Pontiac, which is a very bizarre way to draw it, but then you also have the district that Thad McConner represents comes up into part of Oakland County, and then so does the quote unquote Peters Levin district. So really, you know, if you look at the center of Oakland County on that map, you got four districts that sort of spiral out from that center and go all over the place. And again, you know, there are states where you have legislators who pull that kind of stuff a lot and whose maps look ridiculous and don't respect communities of interest. We haven't had that here in Michigan before. That's what really concerns me, is that this is not a place where we've pulled this kind of thing before. The other thing that concerns me about the map is that there isn't a lot of reason for Democrats even to pursue this in court, because the map's not terrible from their perspective either. And so, we can sort of speculate all we want about whether the map is legal, whether these districts would pass court scrutiny or not. But if it never really gets to court, because it's very expensive to pursue these kind of things legally, and you'd really need one of the parties to do it. If it never gets to court, it doesn't matter whether a court would find them constitutional or not. So this may be a map that stands just because, again, there isn't a whole lot of reason for anybody who is in power to complain too much about it.
Well, but you say that, yet the Democrats are screaming bloody murder right now, Stephen Henderson. I mean, they're incredibly unhappy. They're, you know, and the committees that we've seen at the state legislature the last couple of days, you know, the votes in committee are along party lines. And there's no need to rush this. I mean, that's the other part of this. Why are we rushing through this process when we don't need to?
Well, I think that's one of the other real problems here is the entire process has been flawed. And we had an opportunity in Michigan this year because we've got this redistricting collaborative, which is a group of nonprofits that got together and said, look, let's try to make this process, which is supposed to be about the people, let's try to include the people in the process, right? Let's give them a chance not just to say what it is they want, but to try to articulate it on their own map. So we've got this statewide competition taking place where you've got, you know, average people drawing maps using tools that help them follow the rules. And that's sort of taking place completely separate from the process in the legislature where you've got legislators sitting and drawing their own maps without the people being involved at all. I think that's not, I think this is a process that's about how the people choose their representatives. It shouldn't be about politicians choosing their voters. And so, you know, they've been doing this, and as you point out, they're rushing through it. They say they want to have a map approved by July 1st, you know, sometime around the beginning of July when they leave. There's no reason to do that. November 1 is the deadline for when we need to have maps done. That gives us a whole another 5 months. That should be taken up, I think, having discussions and including people in the process so that we flip this idea that politicians choose their voters and start making the people the ones who choose their representatives.
Well, and maybe, Stephen Henderson, I live in Wayne County, and Wayne County sees the biggest change in this whole process, both in the state and the federal level. Your state rep, your state senator, and your member of Congress are severely affected, especially in Wayne County, by these new maps. And so maybe I'm taking it a little more personally than some others are, but there's reasons that's problematic. Stephen, I'm going to ask you to stay with us. We need to take a quick break here, and I'd like to continue this conversation. Can you stay with us a bit longer?
Sure.
All right, Stephen Henderson again, the editorial page editor of the Detroit Free Press. I'm Tony Trupiano. Thanks for punching in with us this morning on First Shift. If you'd like to join us, you have thoughts on redistricting, feel free to do that. 888-552-3595. A quick break here on 1310 WDTW. We'll be back right after we do this.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Jay, welcome to First Shift.
How you doing, Tony? Excellent show.
Frank, good morning.
You got a great show, by the way.
Tom, listening in Chicago.
You got a great show, Tony. You've been doing a great job. I've been listening to you since you came on the air, and good luck with it, and I hope you keep it going.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update includes traffic getting a bit busier on 275 northbound coming in toward Ann Arbor Road, heading up toward 9614 or all the way up to the 96-696 split. In fact, you can go west on 96 and not see any big delays. It's that eastbound traffic that is getting much busier, those coming in toward Wixom and Novi and then trying to go east on the Reuther.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, look for rain throughout the day. Our high, 74. Tonight we'll see showers, a low near 60. Tomorrow a chance of rain and a high near 67. Right now, Metro Airport still mostly cloudy and 68 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now at the Home Depot Red, White, and Blue Savings Event, save on items throughout the store, including innovative top-brand appliances like a Maytag side-by-side refrigerator for $698. At $200 off, you get more than you'd think for a lot less than you thought. All thanks to store-wide low prices at the Red, White, and Blue Savings Event. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through July 6th while supplies last. U.S. only. See store for details.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Come on in. Oh, let me help you with that.
Thanks. I got the wine and the dessert. The steaks smell delicious. And look at the flowers. You always have such beautiful, fresh flowers. You must spend a fortune at the florist's.
I grow them in my basement. I bought a hydroponic system from Light Green Water. It just takes a little time and some electricity. And it's not just the flowers. I grew the greens for our salad and a couple of vegetables. Come on, I'll show you.
Wow. It's so warm and sunny. It's like being on a tropical island.
Wait until I turn on the sound machine.
It's like you've got your own private Garden of Eden. Maybe we should dress like Adam and Eve.
Light Green Water has everything you need to grow a garden inside your home. Light Green Water is located at 3661 Highland Road in Waterford. That's M59, a quarter mile west of Cass Lake Road. Light Green Water, hydroponic equipment and supplies.
All of Michigan's top newsmakers talk to Tony Trupiano.
Joining us now is Debbie Stabenow.
Good morning, Tony. It's always great to be with you.
Former Michigan Congressman Mark Schauer.
It's great to be with you, Tony.
Cindy Estrada joins us.
Thank you for having me.
State Representative Harvey Santana. You're a rock star, Bert Bernero.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much. You're too kind, Tony.
And my good friend, Congressman Hanson Clark. Welcome to First Shift.
Tony, it's great being on your show.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Weekdays 6 to 9
on 1310 WDTW. Don't adjust your radio. This transmission is meant for you. It's First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after the hour, my guest, Stephen Henderson. He is the editorial page editor of the Detroit Free Press. We're talking redistricting this morning. You know, Stephen, one of the realities is when you bleed jobs and you start bleeding residents, you're going to lose representation in Congress. We lost a seat. Fair enough. We knew that was coming. And as we look at this map and we see what has been done and how it's been manipulated, and you actually look at the rules that have been created constitutionally to make sure that we certainly protect minorities and people of color, and I don't know that those rules have really been respected in the way I expected them to. And again, I'll go back and say I'm taking this a little more personally because in the county that I live in, Wayne County, it's a mess. Wayne County's a mess. There's no question that's true.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as you point out, we've lost population both in the state and especially in Detroit over the last 10 years. And that is the biggest, or is supposed to be the biggest driver for the way you draw these maps. That said, I think it's a stretch to say that what they did with the congressional map can be blamed on either the population shifts in the region or on the need to protect majority-minority districts. I mean, I've seen lots of other maps drawn by, you know, I've seen maps drawn by some teenagers, some children that respected those rules and didn't look as silly as this congressional map that we have. I mean, there was clearly some other motivation at work. And so, you know, I was actually pretty heartily disappointed a couple of days ago when you heard some mumblings that, well, we had to draw this map this way because of the Voting Rights Act, or, well, you know, they've lost so much population. I think that's a complete cop-out, and it's intellectually dishonest. You did not have to create those kind of sort of windy, snaky districts all over the place because of those rules. The reason to do that was to A, maximize your partisan advantage, and B, to protect incumbents. And those are really the only rational explanations for coming up with a map that otherwise really makes no sense.
Well, you know, and again, Stephen Henderson, you wonder, because this was done behind closed doors, there's been no deliberative process, and there may not even be any debate on the House floor. We may hear absolutely no discussion about this in a public forum in any way, shape, or form. And as a voter, I find that quite disturbing.
Yeah, well, and you know, that's the problem with the process here. I mean, if you were to complete a math test in an eighth grade class, you wouldn't get any credit if you couldn't show your work, right? At the same time, here you've got legislators, public officials accountable to the public, carving up a map and deciding who's going to represent whom without explaining any of it, without saying, well, here's why we did this, and here's the thinking that went into this exercise. I mean, again, you'd get an F in eighth grade for that kind of behavior, but in the legislature, apparently it's okay. And again, I think that's part of the bigger picture here. This is a bad map. This is a bad map for a lot of people and for a lot of reasons. But beyond that, we have a horrible process for doing this here in Michigan, and it doesn't have to be like that. I mean, I would even think that the map itself might be more palatable if it had emerged from a process that included citizens, that included some rationale, some public discussion about how they're thinking and why they're doing certain things. As it is, it's just it looks ridiculous, and we have no explanation for it that's not also ridiculous. So it's sort of doubly unacceptable.
Well, and again, there are states that have nonpartisan commissions that do this kind of thing, and it's a process, and they adhere to that process, and it's said and it's done, and the politicians live with that result because it is democracy at work.
Right, and you know, here in Michigan, Jim Townsend, freshman legislator from Oakland County, has been working on legislation that would do the same thing here. I don't think, my guess is that it won't be received well in Lansing because, the problem with redistricting is that the parties see this as a political spoil. Right, you win the election and you win control of the legislature. That means you get to draw the map, and that means your interests trump everybody else. And I think that generally is true for most political issues. But redistricting, I think we have to remember, is a constitutional issue, and it's a rulemaking issue as opposed to a win or loss policy issue. But we treat it that way, and so you get these sort of bizarre iterations of democracy that come out of it.
Well,
there's,
you know,
a better way to do it.
Well, you know, and Stephen, by extension, as we look at this predominantly Republican legislature, and we look at a governor who is a Republican, and we look at some of what has been put forward in the first 6 months of this year, and this is just another one of, quote-unquote, those issues where the Republicans are going to get their way. We're a long way out of 2012. We're a long way out of that next election cycle. And for those of us that are concerned, listen, I wear my politics on my sleeve. People know I'm a liberal Democrat. I'm not happy with this legislature. And to me, this is a slap in the face. Beyond being wrong, it's a slap in the face to my politics.
Well, it is. Yeah, I mean, it is, and I hear that, and I understand. I mean, I also think there's some 300,000 Democrats and Independents who sat home last November, and rather than going out and voting, and you know, when that happens, these are the consequences. I mean, I think it's very important that people start really paying attention to why Michigan's in the situation it's in. I mean, there was no reason for the washout of Democrats that we saw last year, other than the fact that not enough Democrats and Independents who were more likely to vote that way than the other way didn't vote. If you look at the vote tallies from November and compare them to the last midterm election that we had, or even to 2008, you just got fewer people. And, you know, if you don't vote, the other side will, and this is what you end up with. And, you know, I mean, there are things that have happened over the last couple of months that I thought were good ideas. There are things that I thought were really bad ideas. But the point is, Democrats have no voice in Lansing, and that's a result of that election. And I, you know, I tend not to ever think that one party should have that much power. But we're going to have to live with this in Michigan, at least for another, as you point out, 18 months.
All right. Well, Stephen Henderson, we are just out of time. I want to thank you so much. You can count that we'll be reaching out to you from time to time.
Sure, anytime.
All right, I appreciate it. Stephen Henderson again with the Detroit Free Press. A quick break here. We're going to be open lines for the balance of the hour, so feel free to give us a call. What's on your mind this morning? 888-552-3595. A quick break. We'll be back right after this on 1310 WDTW.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Still doing pretty well out there. Our total traffic update looks pretty good coming in from the east side. Drivers heading out on 94, coming in westbound towards 75 and M10 and I-96. That looks pretty good. Eastbound coming from Dearborn in toward the city. We look pretty good in through the interchanges. It is getting a lot busier, though. Traffic is picking up, especially through that interchange, 75 coming into 696.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, look for rain throughout the day. Our high 74. Tonight we'll see showers, a low near 60. Tomorrow a chance of rain and a high near 67. Right now Metro Airport still mostly cloudy and 68 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift with me, Tony Trupiano, after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. Forging the Flame of Justice, Interfaith Worker Justices National Conference in Chicago, brought together hundreds of clergy from all over America. Interfaith Worker Justice Public Policy Associate Tom Schellebarger says attacks on workers' rights fly in the face of religious teaching and values.
The assault on workers and worker organizing in particular, it really strikes a discord with religious leaders. Religion by its very nature is communitarian, and the economic philosophy that's behind most of the attacks on worker organizing is very individualistic and materialistic. It runs counter to what most religions teach about who we are as human beings.
Schellebarger says the work of Interfaith Worker Justice upholds the dignity and rights of workers.
For Interfaith Worker Justice, our focus is on how do we allow workers to have a voice and a say in the work that they do. If we believe in democracy, then we believe in individuals having the right to be a part of what determines their life. Nothing determines your life more than your workplace.
The AFL-CIO's Union Summer Internship Program is underway with 45 students working in 8 cities on community and labor movement building projects. AFL-CIO President Rich Trumka says that Union Summer gives young people an opportunity to give back to their communities as they help to rebuild the middle class and create a voice for all working people. Trumka says Union Summer is part of a young worker outreach program that also includes the upcoming second annual Next Up Summit of young workers in Minneapolis. About 125 workers at GM's Lake Orion plant took a strike vote on Wednesday. Results are expected as soon as today after members have been notified of the results. The workers reportedly make less than $10 an hour working for a company called Link Logistics, doing parts logistics for GM inside that plant. The workers signed union cards to join the UAW, but have yet to reach a contract agreement. UAW Local 5960 President Pat Sweeney says the union is fighting for a living wage for the workers. The roughly $20,000 these workers earn annually is below the federal poverty line for a family of four. GM is launching the Chevy Sonic this summer at the plant, the only subcompact to be made in the U.S. Pacifica Radio says it's riveting. This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising is a one-hour documentary from Madison-based Workers Independent News. Get your copy today at laborradio.org. This newscast was made possible in part through underwriting support from the hardworking men and women of the IBEW, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. You've been listening to WIND, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Sound off on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1310WDTWAM.
You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Detroit's Progressive Talk, the home for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now here's Tony.
Welcome back, and it is a pleasure to be with you. Feel free to join us. We're open lines in this half hour, 888-552-3595, 888-552-3595. The email address is always tony@thetonyshow.com, tony@thetonyshow.com. .org. I see I did it again. I still do that. .com from now. It is .org, not .com. Our First Shift Facebook poll question of the day. Is it time to bring all the troops home? After the president spoke last night, said that by the end of 2011, 30,000 more will be coming home. Is that enough? Or is it time to pull them all out and bring them home? There's the question. The yeses are winning pretty handily on the poll right now, but that can change. So go on in and punch in on Facebook. We're up to 509 likes. Jeff, 509 likes. So that's not bad. We, of course, are on our way to 1,000 and beyond. And so, you know, we need people to go over and like that if you haven't liked it and share it with others. Yeah, I'm going to play some Governor Snyder audio here in just a moment. But this audience, Jeff, is... we still have that one segment of the audience that's pretty focused on this consecutive streak that I have going that today will be 13. If things go well today, it will run to 13.
You feeling pretty confident about 13?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not overconfident because, you know, all it takes is one slip up.
It was close. There was times in this streak where I thought maybe, maybe it would have ended.
And so those are the clues. What we've just said are the clues, because I still get people, although we've told them, it is show-related. You and Todd are involved. The weekends don't count. People are still guessing personal stuff. So they're not hearing my clues, and they need to hear them. That conversation was a huge clue. In my opinion, it was.
Yeah, I would say so. It doesn't happen during the show, if that's another clue I can throw out there.
And that's it. That's all we're giving him today. And I want to thank Stephen Henderson from the Free Press. I want to thank Dr. Jen from yesterday. I know, Jeff, you and Todd, more you, enjoyed the donuts. You liked her for the donuts. Did you like her as a person, by the way?
She was very nice. Okay. Yes. And then she helped Todd with the song of the day, so she had a lot of influence over here.
And she co-hosted the last hour of the show. I mean, and I didn't have to pay her on top of that. Does it get any better than that?
If she would have brought guest omelets, pancake, no, I'm just kidding.
And by the way, where are we going to do our staff meeting tomorrow? We now have choices. All of a sudden, you know, we were at one place thinking there was nowhere else to go, and now we have all these choices.
And we were wondering about that, if we were going to head out and see if we can find a different one, or if we were going to stick to our guns, or we'll have to discuss that.
Decisions.
While we worry about the streak.
Absolutely. Okay, we do have a lot. We're going to, by the way, in a little while, talk to the voice of the Workers Independent News, Doug Cunningham, in about 10 minutes or so. But before we do that, Governor Snyder sat down with WXYZ-TV's Channel 7, Stephen Clark, and they talked about a variety of issues. This first piece of audio is on the speed, actually not the speed of the budget. Yeah, I guess it is the speed of the budget. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, it's a great outcome. It was a very difficult budget because we did have to ask people for sacrifice, but we had a huge deficit to deal with. But we did it in a really financially responsible way. We're starting to address those long-term liabilities. We did it with record speed so jurisdictions, municipalities, and schools can have better certainty. And it's really hitting the reset button about the reinvention of Michigan. It's about jobs and our kids, what this budget is all about.
Hitting the reset button. I don't quite understand the reference, and of course it's hard because I don't get to ask him questions because he won't come on the show. So I don't know what that means. Maybe some of you know what the reset button means. And next he talks about education and the budget. So let's go ahead with that one.
But as a practical matter, too much of our educational system has been about spending money, not educating the kids. We've got great teachers, great people in the system, but we have a broken system. So that's why we did the special message on education, to say it's all about the kids, not about the money. And let's figure out how to get more resources in the classroom and deliver real student growth.
All right, and again, I'm going to ask you to replay that one. It's only 21 seconds. I need to hear that again. Go ahead and play that again.
That special message that he sent to the kids. I can't wait to hear that part again.
Yeah, I just want to play that again, please.
But as a practical matter, too much of our educational system has been about spending money, not educating the kids. We've got great teachers, great people in the system, but we have a broken system. So that's why we did the special message on education, to say it's all about the kids, not about the money. And let's figure out how to get more resources in the classroom and deliver real student growth.
Yeah, you need to save that. And I don't know why, but you just do. I intuitively, I know you need to save that soundbite, Jeff.
Well, that's why we did the special message to the kids. The special message being ripping money out of the schools. That's the special message that was sent.
You know, first of all, you know, we've got great teachers, he said, you know, but it's the system that's broken. What do we need to change? What's broken? Someone tell me. Somebody answer that question for me. Is it the curriculum? Is it the way we teach? I mean, is it the method of teaching that's broken? You know, somebody tell me what's broken here.
Well, they probably have great kids and great teachers at Green Hills, and yet they need more money. Why is the money an issue here?
But it's not about the money. It's about the kids.
Oh, I forgot about that part.
When there's this huge disconnect when he talks about education. All right, so you wonder, he signs this bill yesterday. He signed the budget bill yesterday into law. There are no Dems there. Stephen Clark asked him about that. This is what he had to say.
In terms of looking at, we went through the Democratic process. We had a number of Republican legislators here, but we had committee hearings. They took good feedback, input. They listened to things from the Democratic side and put those in the budget. And I think that was quite effective.
Yeah, okay. Didn't really address or answer the question. And there's a reason the Democrats weren't there, because each and every Democrat, both in the House and the Senate, voted against this bill, against this budget. Every single one of them.
They had a chance for input. And the Republicans took good notes, Tony. They took good notes from what the Democrats had to say, and their input was used.
And disregarded those notes.
Right. They filed it into the trash bin.
Okay. And then last but not least, and then we'll move on to something else, but, the budget and seniors. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, if you look at it in many respects, that's about our kids. If seniors that have the ability to pay, or people with retirement income, I should say, if they have the ability to pay, they weren't contributing to the system. And so what was going to happen over time, it had already started, is we were shifting our tax burden to our young people. And when I went on the campaign trail, I heard it from everyone across Michigan. We want our kids to stay here. So why would we have a tax system that was pushing the tax burden to them? Now we've got a system that over time, we've got transitional provisions. Over time, though, people with retirement income, when they can afford it, will contribute to the system. And we can reduce that burden off our young people so they'll want to stay in Michigan.
Wow. 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 They have the ability to pay. People on fixed incomes have the ability to pay. And this is about the kids. Now, so screwing over the senior citizens somehow equates to being able to retain young people in the state of Michigan.
That's my first thought. When I was thinking about looking for a job, it was, how much of the tax burden am I going to have to shelve here? It wasn't whether I wanted to stay next to family, or if I really enjoyed being in Michigan, or, you know, if I actually could find a job here. I was worried about where, you know, how much tax burden my shoulders were going to have to hold.
And then, of course, because I know you, as soon as you knew that they were going to place this burden on senior citizens, you were like, I'm all in.
Right. I mean, I started the celebration.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you knew immediately if they're going to put this on the seniors, then that was going to mean less burden for you. And because I know you could care less about, you know, older people. This is just wrong.
I'm never going to have to take care of my parents who are going to be seniors soon. So, forget them. I don't have to worry about that at all.
This is just, I mean, really? And, you know, and I didn't see the interview. And obviously Stephen Clark let him get away with all this because I'm sure he didn't come back and say, well, but Governor, come on. You know, let's be realistic about your answer. I'm positive that didn't happen because that would be front page news today. And that's why he doesn't do this show, the governor, that is. And it's, I wouldn't want to interview Stephen Clark either. If I mean, he's not a journalist. I'm not a journalist either. But Stephen Clark is pretending to be one, and you're not a journalist if you allow answers like these to stand pat. It's just wrong. It's just, this is just wrong. Oh, man, this was some really interesting stuff, Jeff.
It's all about the kids.
It's all about the kids. That last one is the best one.
The reason why he attacked, or the reason why pensions were attacked?
Yeah, because it's about the kids. I mean, he kept hearing everywhere he went during the campaign, I want my kids to stay. So they must have also been saying to him, so therefore, you know, take more of my money so that they have to take, you can take less of theirs. That's probably the conversation that he had. He just didn't share that with us.
The funny part is the ability to pay.
Yeah, if they have the ability to pay.
So you have corporations who have more than enough ability to pay some taxes, but they don't count.
Well, now wait a minute. You're not being fair because the corporations are going to take that $1.8 billion and create jobs with it, Jeff.
Oh, okay.
You're not. That's not very nice.
Sorry about that.
Now, I don't know when they're going to do it, and they may not do it, but that's what it's there for. So don't you dare suggest that they're not going to do that.
But the people who planned their lives out 20, 30 years in advance and found a day that they could retire, set aside some money, and the finish line, they reached it, they have enough money set aside so they can live the rest of their life comfortably, they now have the ability to pay, I guess.
Well, they should have been thinking about that 30 years ago. Jeff, I think you're being unfair to the governor on that question. Wow. All right, a quick break here. Doug Cunningham on the other side. We'll have more time for open lines later on. You can't write this. You can't make this stuff up. It just kind of happens. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll take the break and be right back. Stay with us on First Shift.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Middle-class workers like you shouldn't be bearing all the burden. You work too hard for someone to ask you to pay more so that somebody who's making millions or billions of dollars can pay less.
On 1310 WDTW.
This is Dan Tullis, and I just called
Joel Clark,
one of Select Quote Insurance Services Term Life agents.
Hi, Mr. Tullis.
Joel, how does Select Quote save you money on term life insurance?
Well, buying term life insurance is all about choosing the right company. Let's say you take antidepressants or you smoke. All insurance companies are going to price that differently. We'll impartially shop all the companies we represent to find you the best price.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. I just got a man, 40 years old, who takes blood pressure medication, a $500,000 policy with a highly rated insurance company. His price, $21 a month.
Call 1-800-600-1582 and see how affordable term life insurance can be. That's 1-800-600-1582. 1-800-600-1582. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
You know her as Three's Company star and the Thighmaster guru, but Suzanne Summers is also author of 20 bestsellers, including her revolutionary new book, Sexy Forever, How to Lose Fat After 40. Now she's done it again by exposing the missing ingredient to help women over 40 lose weight.
Are you over 40 and just can't lose weight? Well, it's more than diet and exercise. I've spent two decades working with cutting-edge doctors, and I have found the missing piece of the puzzle to losing fat after 40. This new information will astonish you, and I want to share these discoveries, so get started now with a free weight loss plan only available at Suzanne.com. On my personalized program, you'll lose the weight, stop fat in its tracks, and rejuvenate your whole metabolism. So if you're over 40 and overweight, you need more than a diet. This is the proven answer you've been looking for.
To get Suzanne Summers' free weight loss plan, log on now to Suzanne.com. That's Suzanne.com. Suzanne.com.
All of Michigan's top newsmakers talk to Tony Trupiano.
Joining us now is Debbie Stabenow.
Good morning, Tony. It's always great to be with you.
Former Michigan Congressman Mark Schauer.
It's great to be with you, Tony.
Cindy Estrada joins us.
Thank you for having me.
State Representative Harvey Santana. You're a rock star, Bert Bernero.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much. You're too kind, Tony.
And my good friend, Congressman Hanson Clark. Welcome to First Shift.
Tony, it's great to be on your show.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Weekdays 6 to 9
on 1310 WDTW. Gas prices, can't explain them, can't predict them, but you can beat them. Just head to the Count on Chevy event for one of nine models over an EPA-estimated 30 MPG highway. See? Savings on gas is that simple. It just takes a trip to your Chevy dealer, and you can count on that. Tony is back and wants to talk with you. Give him a call at 1-888-552-3595.
And welcome back. This is Tony Trupiano, and I'm really excited to share my next guest with you. We hear him three times a day, every day, on this show. And he does an amazing job as the producer and on-air voice of the Workers Independent News Network. He is a Michigan native and has quite a celebrated background in the media. I'm speaking none other than a friend of this program, Doug Cunningham. He joins us from Wisconsin today. And, Doug, it's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Well, thanks for having me on, Tony. It's been a while since I worked the first shift, but I'm glad to be here early in the morning.
Yeah, well, you do a great job no matter what shift you're working. And I know that the Workers Independent News and laborradio.org is, of course, the website we want to send people to, has been, again, a feature on this show from day one. We're certainly happy to offer it up. And I have to tell you, because we do have a labor-centric audience, which, of course, is wonderful, they really do appreciate, Doug, the hard work you folks do over at WIN.
Well, thanks for that. And we appreciate the work that everybody in Michigan is doing to help with this fight back campaign that working families are waging now against Republican governors and legislatures and the attacks on working people. Of course, here in Wisconsin, it's going strong. And Michigan, you've got your struggle going. Ohio, all throughout the Midwest. And so that's exciting for us.
You know, Doug, I've got to tell you, you've been doing, how long have you been with Labor Radio now?
Since 2004.
Okay, and in that time, have you ever seen a period of time where there was such a concerted effort by the Republican Party to dismantle constitutional rights in such a wholesale way?
I have not. This is historic. It literally is historic, and the fight back effort against it is also historic. And we are living in exciting times. They are challenging times. But we have not seen anything like this in many, many, many years. And Michigan, of course, has a long history of workers coming together and fighting for their rights and standing up. And Wisconsin does as well. And, you know, in Michigan, Governor Snyder has a Wolverine by the tail. And over here in Wisconsin, Governor Walker has a Badger by the tail. And they're not going to find either one easy to subdue.
No, that is very true. Doug Cunningham, again, my guest. He is the voice you hear at the bottom of every hour during this show 5 days a week, and we're happy to have him with us. Now, I said you're originally from Michigan. Were you born and raised here, or did you just live here for a while?
I grew up in Michigan. I came to Michigan when I was in second grade with my family. My father and my mother both worked for General Motors in Flint, and I grew up in the Flint area in a suburb of Flint. And I was a journalist when I was in Michigan as well, a local radio, and also co-founded a newspaper with Michael Moore many years ago, the Flint Voice, the Michigan Voice. And so I have a long history in Michigan, although I wasn't born there.
All right. Well, you know, it's kind of neat that you're, in a way, you've come full circle, and here we are. Now, how do you guys go about on a daily basis deciding and designating which stories make that newscast and which ones don't? I mean, you know, we've got you 3 minutes. I know you do a couple different length newscasts. How do you decide what makes it and what doesn't?
It's hard because there's so much going on, and we've got such a limited amount of time on the air. But we take a scan of what's happening in the nation, the whole nation, because it's a national focus, And we hear from unions around the country. We hear from individual workers. We monitor that. We get emails, of course, press releases and other things, and we keep our eyes and ears as open as possible. And then we try to focus in on stories that we can do and that we're capable of bringing to our audience each day. And it's difficult because so much is left on the floor. So much is left unsaid and undone and unreported because we simply don't have the time. So just because you don't hear something in our newscast doesn't mean we don't think it's important, but it's so very limited, the time that we do have. And we've been doing this now. This is our ninth year. We're on over 200 radio stations around the country, and we've been on some of the biggest stations in the country, including in New York City. We're off the air now, temporarily there, while we look for more sponsors, but we were on the air there for five straight years in New York City. So, you know, it's an effort that's unlike any other. We tell the truth about what's happening to working people and what working people are doing in response to public policies that are impacting.
Right, and of course, Doug, the real challenge, of course, is that sponsorship end of it. You know, it's the business side of what you and I do every day that really is the biggest part of what we do on a daily basis. If it were just reporting what we do or being on the air 3 hours a day as I am, you know, that wouldn't be that tough a day. But going out and finding those sponsors and making sure that the word gets out there isn't as easy as people might think it is. Quite a challenge.
And especially since media is owned by corporations, of course, and there's more and more media concentration in terms of corporate ownership. And so telling the truth about working families and coming from a labor point of view and talking to people about what's happening, really happening to workers out there, and telling the truth about that is not an easy sell on a lot of corporate-owned radio stations, and it's very difficult. So we depend on support. So I would encourage people to come to our website at laborradio.org, or if you're in a union, consider sponsoring or supporting our efforts. And, you know, we try as best we can to tell the truth, and we try also to chronicle the labor movement, what's really happening, what workers and their unions are doing about these things and these issues, you know. And it's such a huge challenge now in these times because workers are under such strong attacks. And we just like to also encourage, as we go about our reporting, we encourage working families to stand up, because when you do something that's good for working people in America, you're doing something that's good for the country.
Well, yeah, no question that's true. And so people understand, you know, the way it normally works, when if they were in another town or in another city and they heard the WIN news, normally that is a paid spot. Now, I'm providing you guys this 3 minutes that you give us every day at no cost, and I'm happy to do it. And, you know, listen, if we can find sponsors, that'd be great. But you're going to be here no matter what, Doug, because it's an important part of what you do is an important part of what we do.
We appreciate that.
Well, you know, but it's important that we get this information out there. The stuff that you guys report on, no one else is covering it. Literally no one else is covering it.
No, they're not. And, you know, people have to understand, when they understand what the real truth is about what's happening, then they're informed to decisions carry on to the ballot box and other places, and so working families can make informed decisions, conscious decisions, about what they want the country and the state and their local communities to look like. And right now, businesses are sitting on $1.9 trillion in cash reserves, for example, while unemployment is at huge high levels around the country. So a good economy for workers does not necessarily mean the same thing as a good economy for corporations, because it's great for corporations right now, record profits, but workers are really hurting, and we want to tell that story.
And we need to tell that story, and we need to try to figure out a way, because as we have discussed on this program now for many, many weeks, trickle-down's not working. Trickle-up works just fine. Trickle-down, not so much. And that in its own way makes so much of what we do problematic. Doug, we're just out of time for today, but I want to thank you and encourage you to continue to do the great work that you're doing. And, of course, anything that we can do to support your efforts, you know we're here to do that.
Thanks, Tony, and I encourage everybody listening to you to go to laborradio.org, check out what we do, and if you can, support us, and get active in your state struggle to defend workers against these horrendous attacks.
Absolutely. Doug Cunningham, once again. Doug, we'll have you back. I appreciate you being with us today.
Thanks, Tony.
All right, and we'll take a break for the top of the hour. We come back. Dave Holtz will be with us, Executive Director of Progress Michigan. He's in Washington, D.C. We'll find out what he's doing there. We'll talk about that press conference yesterday on Public Act 4, Emergency Manager Bill. Yep, it's problematic. A quick break here for the top of the hour. Diane Cross with traffic and weather, CNN with news. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll be right back.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update includes that construction along eastbound 696, drivers near Mound Road. Unfortunately, we have that construction taken out of lane, although I think most of us are used to that. Heading west on the Ruther, we've got the heavy traffic coming in from Mound to 75. 75 south trying to come in toward 12 and the Ruther and 8 Mile. You should try to make your way in toward downtown. We are seeing the heavy and slow go at times.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Look for rain throughout the day. Our high, 74. Tonight we'll see showers, a low near 60. Tomorrow, a chance of rain and a high near 67. Right now, Metro Airport still mostly cloudy and 68 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Sound off on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1310WDTWAM.
Identify yourself, please.
This is Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Leading the news this hour, President Obama tells us why he wants to lower the number of U.S. troops in Afghanistan.
This is the beginning, but not the end of our effort to wind down this war.
The president announced last night 10,000 troops will come home by the end of this year and another 23,000 by the fall of 2012. CNN's Brianna Keeler says the president will hit the road today and start changing the focus to the economy.
He is going to Fort Drum, New York. This is that customary sell of his proposal the day after he makes it. Tomorrow, he'll be in Pittsburgh talking about new technology in manufacturing, jobs. This is where the White House wants this message.
Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi is asking the UN Security Council to come to Libya to investigate a recent attack by NATO. CNN's David McKenzie reports from Tripoli. Gaddafi made the request in a nationally televised speech.
His main point of anger was the hitting on Monday of this compound. It was the compound of Khaled Ahmadi. Now, that was a long-time associate. It is a long-time associate of Muammar Gaddafi as part of the Revolutionary Council, the original four men who kind of sparked the revolution in the 70s.
The TSA heard complaints from people about kids getting pat-downs from airport security screeners. They're being told to avoid pat-downs of kids 10 and under. An attorney for Casey Anthony's parents tells CNN they don't believe their daughter is innocent. However, George and Cindy Anthony say they don't want Casey to get the death penalty. She's charged with murder and the death of her 2-year-old daughter. The world-famous home of the Kentucky Derby, Churchill Downs, was hit by a possible tornado. This guy saw it.
We were watching it forming up above, and then all of a sudden it formed from the bottom up, started tearing roofs off of everything.
Barns were damaged, and the track is closed today. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
The Home Depot has made a special buy on exclusive Hunter Highberry ceiling fans at just $89.88. Valued at $150, you get a ceiling fan for under $90 to keep things cool, a remote control to keep things easy, and a lifetime warranty to keep you from having to replace it down the road. All thanks to a special buy on exclusive Hunter Highberry ceiling fans, just $89.88. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
Buying a good used car is all about having the right information and facts. And if it's a Honda-certified used car, well, it just got a whole lot easier. Because now you can find out the history, mileage, and the price of the Honda you're looking for without leaving your home. Simply go online and search Google or Yahoo for Honda-certified used cars. You'll see the current selection at the Honda dealers nearest you, along with the information you need to make the right choice. Honda-certified used cars. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
The job market is the focus in the coming hour as the Labor Department releases the latest reading of initial unemployment claims an hour before Wall Street's opening bell. The number of filings expected to be up for last week from the 415,000 the week before. This is turning into the worst summer in more than half a century for teenagers looking for work. USA Today cites the Bureau of Labor Statistics, which says this summer only one of four teens will find a job. Blame lower consumer spending, which crimps retailers and restaurants' ability to hire. Coming up a bit later this morning, we get another housing report. Economists think we'll see a drop in new home sales in May from April's near record low. Stock markets all over the world have been moving lower today. U.S. stock futures are following suit. S&P futures down 8, NASDAQ futures off 11, Dow futures down 55. In early trades, oil futures are down $2.50 to below $93 a barrel. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Looking for a better way to grow your business? A Regions Cash Core Analysis can help uncover ways to optimize your cash flow and improve your bottom line. It's all part of the better business banking experience we're building just for you. So, if you're ready for a bank with the insight and guidance to help grow your business, switch to Regions. Drop by a branch or visit regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC.
Somewhere in America, David Ortega is waiting at a busy airport. Kim Healy is waiting in traffic. And a whole country is waiting for a better way to travel. Siemens high-speed trains. They go 220 miles an hour with less carbon emissions. And we could build them right here. Fast answers bring people together. And the over 60,000 U.S. employees of Siemens have more answers every day. Siemens. Visit Siemens.com/answers.
The Home Depot has made a special buy on exclusive Hunter Highbury ceiling fans. Just $89.88. Valued at $150, you get a ceiling fan for under $90 to keep things cool, a remote control to keep things easy, and a lifetime warranty to keep you from having to replace it down the road. All thanks to a special buy on exclusive Hunter Highbury ceiling fans. Just $89.88. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
Buying a good used car is all about having the right information and facts. And if it's a Honda-certified used car, well, it just got a whole lot easier. Because now you can find out the history, mileage, and the price of the Honda you're looking for without leaving your home. Simply go online and search Google or Yahoo for Honda-certified used cars. You'll see the current selection at the Honda dealers nearest you, along with the information you need to make the right choice. Honda-certified used cars. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
Look around you. Companies sacrifice human health and even life for profit. This is the world in which we live. And these are the lives of our fellow human beings. But we don't have to accept it.
At a time when truth is needed, when courage and strength is rare, when a voice is needed to cut through the lies.
Disagreeing is not enough any longer. In order to mandate change, we must not just show up. Now we must stand up.
It's time for First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. I am Tony Trupiano. We've got a lot to do in this hour, so I'm going to get right to it. I've got a couple quick calls before I get to David Holtz, who is waiting in the wings, so let us just go right to the phones. I want to welcome Tom in Detroit to First Shift. Tom, good morning to you.
Good morning, Tony. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. What's on your mind today?
Well, in yesterday's Detroit Free Press, on the business section, front page above the fold, it says GOP to knock auto rescue. It could kind of indulge me just a little bit. It says here, congressional Republicans plan to challenge President Barack Obama's handling of the 2009 auto industry rescue today, as Obama keeps touting his administration's efforts to keep General Motors and Chrysler alive in speeches across the country. It says the hearing presents Republicans with a chance to counter Obama's recent victory lap on autos, you know, the whole situation. I don't, other than the fact that, you know, we've got this presidential election coming up, I don't see how in the world these guys have the unmitigated gall to sit down there and, you know, want to knock this rescue because, I mean, we've talked about it before. Look at the millions of jobs that would have been lost, or million-plus jobs that would have been lost. I mean, this country would have went into a depression. People would have lost, you know, pensions that they, you know, even the retirees, they would have lost their pensions. The folks who are getting ready to come out in terms of retirement, they would have lost their pension. It would have just been a tsunami effect of epic proportion, which this country could not afford as it is, because right now, with what we went through with that, you know, collapse in terms of the economy, we're starting to turn around and come out of this thing.
Well, and unfortunately, Tom, they're just going to use this as a political issue. That's all the GOP is going to do is to politicize this, and it's what they have to do. Unfortunately, wish we had more time this morning, but we are running. We're running a little behind. Let's go to Steve in Monroe, and Steve, welcome to First Shift. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Tony. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
My point is just the federal government just spent $1 trillion for the stimulus package for shovel-ready jobs. That's that was trickle-up economics. That didn't work out too well for us, in my mind.
Well, first of all, you know, that money hasn't all been spent yet, Steve, so let's be mindful that, and they didn't spend $1 trillion, so that's not, that's
under.
No, it's not just under. We haven't spent nearly that. We haven't even expended a lot of that money yet. So let's not go there, Steve. You're acting as if all that money's already been placed into the economy. It has not. A lot of these jobs.
70%.
Well, not even close to 70%, Steve. Okay. You know what? Let's have this conversation sometime when you've got your facts straight. All right? Just go do your homework, and we can have this conversation. It's not a big deal. Jeff, would you go ahead and warm me up? Let me get Dave Holtz on here.
As we do every week at this time, we welcome the Executive Director of Progress Michigan, David Holtz.
And there he is, live today from Washington, D.C. And, David, I want to welcome you back to First Shift. Hope that your trip to the nation's capital has been productive.
Yeah, it's been really great. In fact, one of the things that came up in a conversation yesterday that I was involved in was what your previous caller was focused on. And what we were talking about was the 8 advanced battery technology plants that have help rebuild Michigan's economy and link it to the auto industry and the new 21st century auto industry that's on the rebound. And a lot of that was had to do with the efforts of the Obama administration and the previous governor, Jennifer Granholm.
Well, you know, again, and I appreciate my last caller, I truly do, but, you know, we need to have the facts with us when we call to criticize something, at least know what you're criticizing. The stimulus, the TARP funds is what he was actually referring to, which to a great degree have not, you know, been used in many parts of the country yet. You know, some of these shovel-ready projects aren't even scheduled to begin for a while yet, so it's kind of hard to criticize something that hasn't even been fully put to use yet. And David, with that said, I know that, you know, part of, you know, let's remind people what Progress Michigan does, because I've got a couple issues I want to talk to you about today, and I think it's important that we kind of reframe from time to time what you do as the executive director of Progress Michigan.
Sure. In fact, one of the reasons I'm in Washington, D.C. is to meet with other executive directors of similar organizations in 20 different states. And what we're all about is really two things. One is building communications capacity and the voice for labor, education, environmental, the progressive community, so that we can get our voice out there, our message out there. And the second is to organize folks to be able to get their voices out to individuals.
Okay. And again, I just want to make sure that everybody understands it's been 8 weeks now that we've been on the air, and we just should never just assume that everybody knows who everybody is all the time. And we'd like to think we've got some new listeners, David, in the last 8 weeks. And so I just wanted to remind them, you know, let's first take some time and then we'll continue a little bit after the break. On statewide yesterday, there were press conferences that took place on Public Act 4, which is the emergency manager law. The Sugar Law Center has decided that perhaps, you know, what we've been talking about now for weeks is indeed true, that there may be a constitutional challenge to that law. So, David, let's talk a little bit about that.
Sure. We worked with Sugar Law Center in getting that press rollout yesterday, and basically there are 28 different plaintiffs from 9 different cities across the state, everywhere from Traverse City to Detroit. Citizens came forward as plaintiffs in the suit, and basically the suit really goes at the heart of what this law is about, which is basically an attack on democracy. The suit alleges that the PA Public Act 4, the Emergency Manager Act, really violates the inherent right of citizens to a democratic form of government. It suspends home rule, violates the Constitution doing that. It repeals local laws, ordinances, charters, and contracts. Violates the separation of power by allowing the governor to exercise legislative duties, like we've seen in Benton Harbor, for example, where they basically just suspended the city council there. And interestingly, and this is a part I think many people don't understand, is one of the constitutional problems with this law is that the law the governor says was designed to rescue financially distressed cities, but what it does in reality is saddle local taxpayers with the cost of putting an emergency manager in, and it's no small cost. And the lawsuit alleges that this is a violation of the Headley Amendment by imposing unfunded mandates.
Well, you know, and we stopped. Let's use Pontiac as an example, because there was a story on MLive the other day, David Holtz, that the emergency financial manager, the emergency manager there, Michael Stampfler, has actively been looking for a job. And so, you know, it becomes clear that he now makes $12,000 a month, which is a pretty handsome salary, David. And you begin to wonder, of course, you just said it, the unfunded mandate. Where does that $12,000 a month come from? Well, it comes from, ladies and gentlemen, the city taxpayers. That's where it comes from. And every consultant that he may hire, they're paid through, well, tax dollars, David Holtz. And at the same time, the people that were elected to do this job are, you know, and I understand that, you know, the mayor's getting a full-time salary, the city council may not be, but they're still being paid. And you know, this is problematic.
It is. And you know, really the other issue here is accountability. Here you have, like, a good example, Tony, the emergency manager in Pontiac out job hunting while he's supposed to be rescuing Pontiac, paid handsomely there. Now we understand that, you know, he could just sort of jump out of that job at any point once he finds something he likes a little more. And the city council, the mayor, they can't do anything about it. He's unaccountable to them. The governor's not doing anything about it. So there's just this lack of accountability to local voters.
Yeah, well, again, this is a serious, serious problem. So now I'm just kind of curious, and for the audience's sake, why did you have this press conference, so basically a rolling press conference, because it actually did happen at different times throughout the day yesterday all over the state? Was it to show the power and really the enormity of the problem?
Yeah, I mean, the point of the lawsuit was that this Public Act 4, the Emergency Manager Act, is something that is a threat to democracy, not just in Detroit, not just in Pontiac, not just in Benton Harbor, but everywhere. Everywhere where any city could possibly do something that could trigger the implementation of an emergency manager. And all of us have a vested interest in preserving democracy and the right of home rule in Michigan, and protecting the constitutional right to be able to vote for people,
and David,
elect them to office, and hold them accountable.
And hold that thought. We'll take the break. We'll come back right back. Tony Trupiano with you, 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hey, Tony. You know, I'm not a real liberal guy. I'm not a real union guy. We don't agree on a whole lot, but I really enjoyed your show. You become a new stop in the morning.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous Traffic Watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update includes some slow going along 96 to Jeffries, westbound at Levan, an earlier accident off to the right shoulder trying to clear there that has added to a little bit of heavier traffic trying to get onto 275 or go further west out onto M14. You're going to find things on eastbound 696 heavier as you come off of 275 heading toward M10, trying to get out to Southfield Road and out to 75. Westbound 696 heavy coming into 75, 75 south as you're trying to make your way from at least 14 Mile Road all the way down to about 8 before it eases up.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, rain throughout the day, our high 74. Tonight we'll see a chance of rain, a low near 60. Tomorrow possibly showers and a high near 67. Right now it's mostly cloudy and 67 degrees at Metro Airport. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
All of Michigan's top newsmakers talk to Tony Truppiano.
Joining us now is Debbie Stabenow.
Good morning, Tony. It's always great to be with you.
Former Michigan Congressman Mark Schauer.
It's great to be with you, Tony.
Cindy Estrada joins us.
Thank you for having me.
State Representative Harvey Santana. You're a rock star, Bert Bernero.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much. You're too kind, Tony.
And my good friend, Congressman Hanson Clark. Welcome to First Shift.
Tony, it's great to be on your show.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano. Weekdays 6 to 9 on 1310 WDTW.
Summer is a great time to buy a used car, but just remember to ask your dealer for a free Carfax vehicle history report. It can show you the car's history and help you pay the right price, so you can buy with more confidence. Just say, "Show me the Carfax," or visit Carfax.com.
Now at the Home Depot Red, White, and Blue Savings Event, save on items throughout the store, including innovative top-brand appliances like a Maytag side-by-side refrigerator for $698. At $200 off, you get more than you'd think for a lot less than you thought. All thanks to store-wide low prices at the Red, White, and Blue Savings Event. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through July 6th while supplies last. U.S. only. See store for details.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Here at Advance Auto Parts, our team members receive rigorous training so they can better help customers find the part they need when they need it. Okay, team, first exercise. Recommend a great car stereo.
Pioneer car stereo with built-in HD radio.
Why HD radio?
HD2, HD3 channels.
Amazing digital sound.
Pioneer with HD radio is the smartest thing you can do to upgrade your car stereo.
So what have we learned?
Pioneer with HD radio.
Now at Advance Auto Parts, where service is our best part.
HD radio. More radio, more value. Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. And now, back to work with First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
And thanks for punching in with us this morning. David Holtz from Progress Michigan is with us. ProgressMichigan.org is where you're going to find them online. Of course, you can go ahead and like them on Facebook as well. And David happens to be in Washington, D.C. This morning. David, very quickly, back to the news conference yesterday and the legal challenge to Public Act for the emergency manager law, as it is commonly known, or the dictator law, as it is becoming notoriously known. I had a chance to look at some of the video from two of the press conferences around the state, and certainly I'm very encouraged by the dialogue. And I have to wonder about the process a little bit. When will this, I believe that they actually filed the suit yesterday, is that correct?
Correct, in Ingham County Circuit Court. And the immediate request in the suit is for an injunction, and that would prevent the law from being implemented and any further. And the judge will have to set a hearing on that, and that'll be the next thing that happens.
All right, we're going to go to the phones very quickly and let us in. Again, if you'd like to join us, folks, feel free to do that, 888-552-3595. Jason in Harrison Township joins us on First Shift. Jason, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, guys. You know, I haven't followed this issue of emergency financial managers so closely. I was hoping I could give you an idea of my opinion of it and see if you could maybe clarify, you know, point me in the right direction.
All right.
You know, my understanding, as wrong as it might be, is that the emergency financial manager can only be appointed if the local unit of the government or whatever body that they're working on is in imminent danger of becoming financially insolvent. And the reason this is appointed and they come up with a financial plan and try to bring the local unit back on track financially was to prevent the rest of us in the state from having to cover the debts of that local unit of the government. So, I mean, in effect, while it might be usurping some of the power of the local board or mayor or anything like this, but it also then protects the rest of us in the state from having to pay for their financial mistakes. Am I unclear to that, or where am I getting it wrong?
Well, I don't know that you're getting it wrong. I mean, I think that fundamentally, David, wouldn't you agree that Jason pretty much understands it?
Yeah, and that is exactly what could happen under two previous governors and did happen with the previous Emergency Financial Manager Act. And what we're seeing with the new law, however, which has really nothing to do with saving taxpayers from a debt, is a power grab. And the power grab, I'll give you an example of where I think this law is going wrong. In Pontiac, for example, the emergency manager signed a contract obligating the taxpayers for years to hire a private firm to treat its drinking water. And that private firm is under federal indictment for felony violations of the Clean Water Act because they were jiggering with the treatment system in another community and treatment for E. coli, which is really very harmful to humans. Now, if your city council did that, was in place and had the authority, if the city manager in a city did something like that, why they'd hold them, call them on the carpet, the contract would probably be thrown out, et cetera, et cetera. But the emergency manager is not accountable to taxpayers. And in fact, one of the features of this law is that new emergency managers under the new law can obligate taxpayers without any accountability for years to come by signing contracts, putting bonding issues out, debt bonds, debt obligations, without any accountability. So the law is flawed because there's no accountability in it.
Yeah, and that really is the problem. I mean, that's one of the problems. That's not the only problem, David Holtz. That is one of a multitude. And in this lawsuit that was filed that now begins the process, whether they get injunctive relief or not, this is going to be a legal process, and it's going to take time. And we know that no matter what side, quote unquote, wins on an issue, there's probably going to be an appeal. David, this is nothing that's going to necessarily be resolved quickly.
No, and we really have to thank the Sugar Law Center for taking up this cause. They're a public interest law firm, and actually, it's expensive to bring these suits on behalf of citizens. And if I could, I'd just like to plug them and ask people if they have, if they're interested and want to help, to go to sugarlaw.org and see if you can maybe help them financially with this lawsuit, because they're a nonprofit and they can use the support.
Absolutely. That's sugarlaw.org. Now, I received, and if you're not ready to talk about this yet, you're going to tell me, David, but I received an email early this morning that there is a another press conference, a teleconference today supported or sponsored by Progress Michigan on the middle class here in Michigan.
Yeah, we worked with Demos, which is a research organization, and really looked at what was happening in Michigan with the plight of the middle class, really developing all of the data. And this report, you know, documents what we all know, which is that for Michigan families, they've been losing economic power over the past 10 years. Their rights as workers have been eroded. There's been this tremendous shift of wealth away from middle-class families to big corporations. And this puts the facts and the data behind what we already know.
Sadly, it puts the facts and the data behind what we already know. Well, I'll wait till 10 o'clock to get my information on that. In the meantime, just very quickly before we let you go today, David, let's talk a little bit. You and I haven't really had a chance to talk about redistricting. Of course, the maps are out. The Republicans are, of course, claiming victory and that it's the right thing to do, was the only thing to do. And I had Stephen Henderson from the Detroit Free Press on with us in the last hour. And he basically said, you know, there may be a lot of noise here, but this is probably going to be what we end up with.
Well, unfortunately, I think Stephen Henderson is probably predicting the outcome. I think there still could be legal challenges, but the problem is the Republicans control all three branches of government, including the Supreme Court in Michigan. So it's going to be very difficult to, even if a very good legal case can be made, overcoming that political hurdle in the courts will be very difficult.
All right. David Holtz, travel safely. We'll look forward to having you on again next week.
Thank you, Tony.
All right. Dave Holtz with Progress of Michigan. Again, you're going to find them at progressmichigan.org, and you'll find them on Facebook at Progress Michigan. And very quickly, if you would like to help out the Sugar Law Center, sugarlaw.org. We'll take a quick break. We are open lines for the balance of the show. Now it's up to you. Give us a call, 888-552-3595. We'll be back right after this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Our total traffic update, Tony, includes slow going along 275 northbound coming up Ann Arbor Road in toward the 96 M14 interchange. Drivers are fine in 696 east near Middlebelt. An accident there moved off to the shoulder. Drivers who are heading out on US 23 northbound at Carpenter, an earlier accident that's still trying to clear. That's been working for a while. As you head out on the Southfield Freeway, remember only one lane from about Michigan up to 96 Grand River area.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, rain throughout the day, our high 74. Tonight we'll see a chance of rain, a low near 60. Tomorrow possibly showers and a high near 67. Right now it's mostly cloudy and 67 degrees at Metro Airport. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift with me, Tony Truppiano, after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Workers Independent News, I'm Doug Cunningham. Forging the Flame of Justice, Interfaith Worker Justices National Conference in Chicago, brought together hundreds of clergy from all over America. Interfaith Worker Justice Public Policy Associate Tom Schellebarger says attacks on workers' rights fly in the face of religious teaching and values.
The assault on workers and worker organizing in particular really strikes a discord with religious leaders. Religion by its very nature is communitarian, and the economic philosophy that's behind most of the attacks on worker organizing is very individualistic and materialistic. It runs counter to what most religions teach about who we are as human beings.
Schellebarger says the work of Interfaith Worker Justice upholds the dignity and rights of workers.
For Interfaith Worker Justice, our focus is on how do we allow workers to have a voice and a say in the work that they do. If we believe in democracy, then we believe in individuals having the right to be a part of what determines their life. Nothing determines your life more than your workplace.
The AFL-CIO's Union Summer Internship Program is underway with 45 students working in 8 cities on community and labor movement building projects.
AFL-CIO President Rich Trumka says that Union Summer gives young people an opportunity to give back to their communities as they help to rebuild the middle class and create a voice for all working people. Trumka says Union Summer is part of a young worker outreach program that also includes the upcoming second annual Next Up Summit of young workers in Minneapolis. About 125 workers at GM's Lake Orion plant took a strike vote on Wednesday. Results are expected as soon as today, after members have been notified of the results. The workers reportedly make less than $10 an hour working for a company called Link Logistics, doing parts logistics for GM inside that plant. The workers signed union cards to join the UAW, but have yet to reach a contract agreement. UAW Local 5960 President Pat Sweeney says the union is fighting for a living wage for the workers. The roughly $20,000 these workers earn annually is below the federal poverty line for a family of four. GM is launching the Chevy Sonic this summer at the plant, the only subcompact to be made in the U.S.
Pacifica Radio says it's riveting. This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising is a one-hour documentary from Madison-based Workers Independent News. Get your copy today at laborradio.org. This newscast was made possible in part through underwriting support from the hardworking men and women of the IBEW, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
The time has come. Stand and fight those who would deny your rights. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And our song of the day, Working Class Hero by John Lennon. I want to thank Todd and Jeff for their work there. Working Class Hero by John Lennon is our song of the day. And we are going to go to the phones. Again, I want to remind you, if you care to join us at any time throughout the program, feel free to do that. The toll-free number, 888-552-3595, 888-552-3595. And by the way, all my listeners that were Nutroots Nation last week, somebody's got to tell me how it was. I didn't hear back from anybody, so someone's got to let me know how it went. We're going to go to the phones, and so feel free to join us. The email address, by the way, tony@thetonyshow.org. Let's welcome Albert in Detroit. Albert, a pleasure to have you on First Shift this morning. Thanks for punching in. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm looking at this whole party thing with the Republicans and Democrats. And I know years ago there was a situation where a boatload of Toyotas was lost in transit. And the guy responsible for it, Japanese guy, I guess, decided to do Harry Carey. He was that embarrassed to lose so much stuff, right? These guys come out here, they ruin the economy. And the only example you can tell, that you can compare it to, is the depression. And it's a nerve to run for office and get back in again. To me, that's insane. I had a discussion with my girlfriend's mom, 34 years old, and her biggest thing is this. She's a former Republican. She voted for Obama. But her mind, she doesn't know what to believe when she hears it. And I explained to her, you know, one thing, ideology. I'm a black guy, and they're white, okay? They're good folks. No problem with that. But I always make this, I always try to grab my juggle. I said, look, if I came and told you I hate all white people, and everything I did was to end, would you believe me then? When someone says to you, I hate government, and everything they do is against it, what makes you think they're going to take care of Social Security for you or Medicare? It doesn't make any sense. And I told her that, and she didn't get it. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, I think that part of the challenge is people don't feel like they have... like their investment in the process matters. And I'm going to give you an example. You constantly hear me, Albert, on this show talk about getting engaged, showing up and standing up and what that means. But when we, you know, I had this conversation. By the way, we did the lunch with Tony yesterday. I want to thank Heidi and Eric for a wonderful time. I mean, we really had a wonderful, wonderful time. Spent a couple really nice hours together. And, you know, part of the discussion that we had was about winning. You know, Democrats aren't winning right now. And it's really difficult when you're not winning. And so when you tell people to show up and then to stand up and that it'll make a difference and then they don't win, well, there's going to be a disconnect there at some point, right? At some point, we need to win. Well, what does winning mean? We need to define what winning means. And sometimes winning can be actually changing the way it was. Sometimes winning can be stalling an action that we don't want to go forward. You know, sometimes winning is just having enough people show up. I'll give you an example from very recent past when they had that big teachers rally in Lansing about a month ago. You know, there were, you know, 6,000 to 10,000 people there. We never did get a more accurate count. That's winning. You know, did it stop the budget from going forward? No. Did it stop the cuts to education? No. But it's still winning. Democracy wins. And so what, you know, what should people believe, Albert? I mean, the question is, how do you get, they need to invest more time. I mean, that's, there's no shortcut to the truth.
And that's why I can't wait, Tony, to have Bruce Levine on next week. When we have him on, the book he wrote, Stand Up.
Yeah.
The book that talks about this, about how people are just, they feel beaten down by their vote not mattering and how democracy is, you know, isn't what we used to think it is. And it is. If you can get people out there, if you're passionate about something and you actually show up and you do something, you know, it'll be interesting to see what he has to say next week. I just thought that fits in perfectly with what we're talking
about.
Well,
this is why I wanted to have that author on. When I saw what that book was on, I mean, this is exactly what I speak to on a daily basis, Jeff. I mean, this is the stuff I talk about every single day. And so, you know, the only way we lose is if we quit. That's the only way we lose. So we win every time we show up, and we win every time we stand up. And at some point, the definition of win will change because it will start to reflect what it is that we believe and we want and we're passionate about. And, Albert, you need to empower those people around you to continue to seek truth, you know, to read everything that they can read and to discuss and debate and have a dialogue, an important and passionate dialogue. We've got to continue to do that. 888-552-3595. Let's welcome Jerry in Farmington Hills. Jerry, nice to have you back on the show again this morning. Thanks for punching in with us. What's on your mind, Jerry?
Hey, good morning, Tony. You might want to try to think about putting on your guest list Brooks Patterson, because if there's anybody that's a big loser out of this, he is county executive of Oakland County. He doesn't have really a congressman anymore in Washington that can basically represent the county's interests, unlike, say, Gary Peters or... Sandra Levin.
You're right. It is a big problem for Oakland County. This congressional redistricting map is a cluster, you know what.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, you've got Thaddeus McCotter. I mean, his big base is Livonia and that chunk of western Wayne County you still got, you know. And, I mean, the way they drew that, it's unbelievable. You look at the thing, you know, and it's atrocious.
Well, you know, my producer Jeff had put up a picture last week, and not jokingly, of a kid scribbling with crayons and said, here's the new redistricting map, because that's pretty much what it looks like.
Well, for example, the city of Farmington, they put it in, and I believe it was McCotter's district, and we're going to be in John Conyers' district.
Right. Well, Farmington and Farmington Hills were separated for no apparent reason.
Actually, the city of Farmington is basically pretty much surrounded by Farmington Hills. How the hell do they do that?
Absolutely. Jerry, you've just given the perfect example of why this is so messed up. That's when you're choosing, that's because they're picking the voters. Instead of letting the voters pick them, they're picking their voters. That's what Stephen Henderson was talking about. Absolutely. Jerry, thanks for the call. I mean, honestly, this is lunacy. This redistricting map is lunacy. I still don't know why you people aren't outraged by this stuff. I don't know. Really, we've not gotten the kind of response to redistricting that I thought we would. We really haven't. I mean, you should be astounded. And if, I swear to God, if your reason is, well, there's nothing we can do about it, well, it's just one more thing that we can bitch about. No! This is what I talk about, not quitting. I don't care if we don't win the issue. We don't back down. We just don't back down. Whew. All right, this one, you're going to love this one. This is the power of lobbyists. A bill that would decrease the tax on alcohol purchased from liquor or grocery stores, and a bill that would allow accredited culinary and hospitality programs to serve alcohol were reported Wednesday by the House Regulatory Reform Committee. Because this is the kind of stuff we need to be worrying about. HB 4744 would allow community colleges and universities to obtain liquor licenses was sent to the full House. Big deal. Who cares about that one, right? Senate Bill 331 would decrease the tax on spirits for off-premise consumption by 1.85%. Why are they decreasing taxes on alcohol? Anybody want to venture a guess? I have the answer for you. Lobbyists. Why would they... This is the insanity of the Republican Party. And this bill will pass. And you will not see a 1.85% decrease in what you pay for that stuff. 888-552-3595. I'm certain this is the way it works. By the way, the beverage, the alcohol lobby in Lansing, the number one lobbying firm, Democrats, Republicans combined, period. It's insane. Let's go to Norman in Detroit. Norman, welcome to First Shift. Thanks for punching in. What's on your mind this morning?
Hey, good morning.
Morning, Norman.
You got talking about redistricting in the state of Michigan and why there doesn't seem to be a response. I believe that most people don't even know what redistricting is about. They don't know. They don't understand it. So, you know, when you talk,
redistricting is simple. Let me explain it, Norman, for those that don't know what it is. It is the boundaries in which they determine who will represent that community. So we've got three different, actually there are more than three. We've got, but we've got basically the congressional map, which decides who your congressperson is. Then we've got your state rep and your state senator. Now there are some, you know, districts that also deal with the county commission, but we're not going to get into that right now. So every 10 years, based on the census, that determines how many members of Congress that we have, Norman. And so the census was just completed. And, well, you told me to explain it, so I'm explaining it. And that's what it is. So when we talk... Go ahead, Norman.
I understand what you're saying. I understand. But you got to understand out here, some people, they don't know what's going on, especially with the way the corporate media comes across to them. You know, it astounds me because they'll say, you know, they'll put a point across and and it's the exact opposite of what it really is. So, you know, then they confuse the people. They don't understand.
There is a deliberate effort, Norman, to dumb down the American consumer. There is a deliberate effort to try to make us as stupid as they can possibly make us. They don't want us to know the truth.
And it seems to be working. I mean, look, they control this entire state. You know what? I know we need to fight back, and we need to continue to fight back against these people. But right now, they control this entire state. Whatever these people want to do, they're going to do it.
But you know what, Norman? Why don't you work with me, Norman, and let's change that. Let's change that. Me and you, buddy, we'll change that. We need to let people know that this show exists. This isn't about my ego, people. This is about changing the culture in which we all live. And if you don't believe that, then you don't belong here. We'll take the break. We'll be back. I'm Tony Trupiano. This is Detroit's only progressive talk show. We'll take the break, and this is 1310 WDTW.
Michigan News Talk is on First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Come on in. Oh, let me help you with that.
Thanks. I got the wine and the dessert. The steak smells delicious. And look at the flowers. You always have such beautiful, fresh flowers. You must spend a fortune at the florist.
I grow them in my basement. I bought a hydroponic system from Light Green Water. It just takes a little time and some electricity. And it's not just the flowers. I grew the greens for our salad and a couple of vegetables. Come on, I'll show you.
Wow. It's so warm and sunny. It's like being on a tropical island.
Wait until I turn on the sound machine.
It's like you've got your own private Garden of Eden. Maybe we should dress like Adam and Eve.
Light Green Water has everything you need to grow a garden inside your home. Light Green Water is located at 3661 Highland Road in Waterford. That's M59, a quarter mile west of Cass Lake Road. Light Green Water, hydroponic equipment and supplies.
Wish there was a place to go for information from real parents who have been there? Real parents that give you helpful, unbiased information and judgment-free advice? Hi, I'm Stacey Bachman, and on the My Great Kid Radio Show, we bring you interviews with top parenting, education, money, health, and life experts, along with the best tips, techniques, and newest information to make your life less hectic, more productive, and more satisfying. If you've got a family, the My Great Kid Radio Show is for you.
The My Great Kid Radio Show.
Saturdays at 9 a.m. here on WDTW and on the web at mygreatkid.com.
Rev yourself up for the new McCafe French Vanilla Frappe. Blended with ice and a touch of coffee, then topped with whipped cream and a caramel drizzle. Intense French vanilla taste, blended just for you by this blender that's blending. The new McCafe French Vanilla Frappe at McDonald's. The simple joy of vanilla taste. Revved up. And participate in McDonald's.
Call Tony and tell him what's on your mind. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour, we get ready to wrap things up. Hey, Jeff, we have somebody that has come dangerously close to guessing what the consecutive streak is.
You got to be kidding me.
No, they're dangerously close. And I don't even want to say what their guess was, because then they will get it. And then that's too much information. That would be the TMI.
Are you going to tell them who it is? Are you going to let them know that they're close?
No, I'm not. No, that would give them an unfair advantage. And we are not about that on this show. We're about equality. But one person is very, very close. They've guessed very close, perhaps a bit too close. And, of course, they win nothing if they guess, but I guess we end the drama, don't we?
And then, finally, these people who are pulling their hair out, trying to guess what it is, their madness ends.
You know, they're going to be profoundly disappointed when they finally figure. They're going to go, so what? Who freaking cares? Why were you doing that? Well, it's actually you guys that started it, because I just have, not you and Todd, but I just mentioned one day that I had this consecutive streak going, and then people started sending me emails going, oh, really? What is it? So they started it. I'm just finishing it. That's all.
We'll just have to figure out a different thing to drive people crazy with after this one ends.
I don't think we're going to have any problem finding things to drive people crazy. As long as there is a Republican legislature, I think we're going to be okay. I really think that we'll be okay in that regard. You know, by the way, as Jeff, as we've been talking, the state legislature, both in the House and the Senate, are trying to get a lot of work done before they take their hiatus at the end of June. And that is problematic for a variety of reasons, because a lot of the stuff that they're looking to put into place doesn't need to be rushed. Redistricting would be one of those issues. Another one is teacher tenure, which we know is under assault. And as I was looking and reading about some of the testimony that happened in the state House and the state Senate yesterday, as it relates to teacher tenure, this idea that they're going to, how they're going to evaluate teachers is bogus to me. I think it's very subjective and unnecessary, and I don't know how that, and how does that make, you know, the education better by eliminating due process? How does that make education better? Nobody's been successfully able to answer that. And then we think about Democrat Tim Melton out of the Pontiac Auburn Hills area, who voted in favor of this bill, which still blows my mind because it's so anti-union. Why are we picking on the teachers? That's what I don't get. Why are we picking on the teachers? Why aren't we picking on the principals or the superintendents? You know, the people that actually create the problems. Why aren't we holding them accountable? That's the real question. I mean, why are we not doing that? For those of you that were expecting to hear Ann Coulter today, you did not hear her because she canceled on us, and I pretty much predicted that was going to happen, and sure enough, it did. Jeff, I mean, it's fair to say that they didn't really give a reason, because I listened to the voicemail. They left you a voicemail. They just said that she had to cancel and that they would reschedule at some other time if we wanted to do that, which, of course, we don't. And I did bring her book in. By the way, the book is titled Demonic, How the Liberal Mob is Endangering America. And it's a really well-written book, but I could literally just take, you know, every reference that has liberal put in conservative and, you know, the door would swing the other way and hit them on the ass. But I'm going to be leaving it here at the radio station. So I want you to, Jeff, if you would, like, keep an eye out. There's a security camera over there. Maybe we can get the tapes to see who actually takes the book, or if anybody takes the book, even more importantly.
Well, I mean, if the electricity ever goes down in the middle of winter and we need to stay warm, there's our first option.
Okay, yep, I'm not big into book burning, but on this one, I'd have no problem with it. I read about 75% of it, which was really, really difficult for me to do yesterday because I had so much going on. And I felt a responsibility, as I do. Like you mentioned, Bruce Levine will be an author that's going to be on with us next week. I plan to get his book read. No question, that's true. And I'm a pretty quick study. I can read fairly fast. I don't mind reading. I just feel if somebody writes a book and I'm going to have him on my show, I feel an obligation to read it. And so I'll look forward to that one. This one, not so much. Absolutely not so much. All right, I got a couple other stories, and then we're going to get out of here today. You know, you remember when Chris Mihalakis was here the other day? We were talking about those two House bills on immigration, HB 4224 and 4226, folks. Didn't go well in the state House, and in fact, it's the Republicans that are fighting amongst Republicans on this issue. So they've decided instead of rushing that through, they're going to put this off till the fall. Imagine being contemplative. But it's the Republicans that are fighting with each other, so they're going to put that off. Of course, State Rep. Harvey Santana, who will be with us back with us in a couple weeks, I'm sure he's going to have something to say about this. They will be on hiatus then, much to the chagrin of most of the Democrats. And last but not least this morning, I pull a story. The headline was titled, Obama Administration Expected to Send Staff Untapped Funds to Detroit. And basically, Mayor Dave Bing, speaking yesterday, or Tuesday, during the Transformation Detroit media briefing at the Charles H. Wright Museum, said he expected the federal government to make a significant announcement regarding Detroit in the next 45 to 60 days. An Obama administration official tells the Detroit News that Bing was referring to the Cities in Transition program, an initiative to help Detroit and other cities tap federal money they might have. They might qualify for it, but have not spent. The administration expected to send staff to the U.S. From the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, or HUD, and the Department of Transportation to assist Detroit with its with the process. A Washington source tells the television station WDIV that the program will include at least four other cities. Bing told reporters that he has developed a personal relationship with Obama and believes the president is committed to Detroit's long-term survival. Well, we certainly all hope that that's true, and I would think that anything that could be sent to help the city of Detroit is something we need to embrace. Again, the TARP funds, we had that caller earlier in the show that just didn't understand that the TARP funds have not been expended yet. All of them have not been used. And so I'm not going to criticize a program that hasn't been exhausted. That makes no sense to me, and I'm sorry that you don't see it that way, some of you, but you know, why would we criticize something that's not final? It's just counterintuitive. It truly is. A couple quick notes before I let you go for the day. And tomorrow, of course, we have Joe DeSano. We have Rep. Draney from Dearborn on the show tomorrow, I believe, as well. And I don't remember what else we've got going on, but I'm sure that Jeff's hard at work doing what Jeff does so well. Do you remember who else we have on tomorrow?
Those are the two.
That's it?
And a lot of open line time, because I know people will want to get in on it.
Well, that's okay. I like my open line time. So let's leave it like that. We don't need to add anybody else. Do we? No, absolutely not. Anyway, very quickly before we go, and I've got 30 seconds to get this in, so let me just say this, and I'm going to say it again loud and clear. The future of moving the state forward is the organized labor movement. If you're in a union, move closer to your union. For Jeff and Todd, I'm Tony. As always, I ask that you be well.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Our total traffic update includes that heavy traffic coming down 75 southbound, trying to get toward 12 Mile and the Reuther at 8 Mile as you try to head in toward the Davis Center. 94, if you're on 696 westbound, heavy coming into 75 out to Southfield Road. It always is every morning, sometimes all the way out to Telegraph, where we also have construction on Telegraph, roughly 12 Mile to Maple. Look for those orange barrels.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, rain throughout the day, our high 74. Tonight we'll see a chance of rain, a low near 60. Tomorrow possibly showers and a high near 67. Right now it's mostly cloudy and 67 degrees at Metro Airport. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Sound off on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1310WDTWAM.
Identify yourself, please.
This is...